This place is unbelievable, Mitch.
You like it?
I don't know how you could still be depressed. This is probably the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Us?
Yeah, us. Look, do not get selfish on me here.
Okay, now stay with me.
You put a bar in over there, right? A couple lazy boys, fill it out. You definitely need a smarter couch. You can put a hot tub almost anywhere in this place. Max, can you earmuff it for me? We are going to get so much ass here, it's going to be sick. I'm talking like crazy, like boy band ass.
That sounds like a lot of fun, but I need a little time to get my life back together.
What we need to do is sort of like a big kickoff, like kick-ass party to start things off here.
Break it in a little, meet the neighbors, right? Come on, Mitch.
Huh? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Break it in. But we're not starting a fraternity.
I don't know why you got to do it in front of the kid with the effing. All you got to do is say earmuffs to him. Earmuffs. And you can say, fuck, shit, bitch, whatever you want.
Cock, balls.
Okay, I'm just proving a point. You don't have to celebrate it, Frank.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
A little sheepish. It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational.
This is what we call a show. Hi, nice to see you. Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm gonna need black, 42 long, and nothing touches this body but pure silk. And get my partner something from the kids' department.
Okay, would your partner like to be wrapped in silk as well? Some people think it's tacky, but I really enjoy it when couples dress alike.
No, this ain't no couple thing, man. We police officers working a very dangerous case and we need some clothes.
Yes, there are a lot of men chasing us.
Yes, well, they should be. Listen, you have nothing to worry about, okay? Because I'm going to turn you two into the belle of the ball.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's start with you, shall we? You got the mochaccino face, wonderful skin, and the big broad shoulders, okay? Let's put a dead animal on you. Croc skin. Buttercream, croc skin, buttercream. What size is the waist? Let's go in. I want to...
Hey! Watch his sweetness.
He's got some fire to him.
Honey, cups.
I like that.
Don't get the clothes.
Okay, I'm going to...
Hurry up.
I'll pull some items. Ooh, jeez. Lil' Kim, I'll be back.
You see that?
He likes you.
I'm not shopping with you no more.
It's Luke Skywalker.
Princess?
Yes, I have just escaped from an evil fiend who held me prisoner.
Well, the evil fiend must feed his prisoner as well.
What?
Well, what I mean is it looks like you've put on...
Look, Skywalker, go along with this or I'll cut you in half.
Look, it's the princess.
Doesn't look like a princess to me.
Watch it, hardware.
You think there's life in outer space?
There's certainly none in this theater.
The Zen philosopher Basho once wrote, "A flute with no holes is not a flute, and a donut with no hole is a Danish." He's a funny guy.
You missed just that one.
In one physical model of the universe, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line in the opposite direction, Danny.
Unbelievable.
Thank you very little.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely not. It's been good seeing you guys. It looks like you're doing great.
Yeah! Woo! Can't believe you can't ask a question. Hey, everybody! Woo-woo-woo! It's Entertainment Landfill time. I'm your host, Zorro. The J-Strom. Hey, everyone! How's it going? It is now October. We have not done a show in
3 weeks,
I'm going to say. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. I also do the show with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Good.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How's it going, Bill?
Hey,
hey guys,
it's going good.
We're all together in the same place, finally.
We are?
If all of our brains, our minds right now are in this virtual room, we are all in the same place.
Technically, yes.
Yes. I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, what makes you present? If our attention is focused towards each other, then we're all in the same place, I think. What the hell am I talking about? Hey, everybody! Woohoo! Maybe if I just keep going, woohoo! It doesn't matter. But, Bill, it's so great to speak to you again. I haven't talked to you in a while.
And you also. Sorry.
I mean, I haven't talked to you where I've heard your voice.
Yeah.
I've seen your words, like, you know, like that. You know, when we chat on computers, if we were in a movie, when you type, you would see whenever I write to you, wouldn't you? You would hear that sound effect. Because, you know, in movies, when you're on a computer,
you hear
everything,
a turkey gobble?
Well, yeah. Everything has to make a friggin' sound on a computer in movies. Like, you know, it's like, holy shit, all right, we get it. It's on a computer. You know, God forbid it doesn't make a noise in the thing.
Well, you know what's so funny? I always go through the trouble of putting sounds and ringtones and everything to my phone whenever I get them, and then I end up turning it on silent because they annoy the shit out of me after about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did that recently. I was like, you know what would be really cool, Steven? I mean, this, just picture this. This is going to be badass. I'm going to make my, whenever I get a text message, I'm going to make it the Wilhelm scream.
I told you that was going to be a bad idea.
After maybe like couple of hours, like Heather texts me, Steven, you text me, Bill, you message me. I'm like, all right, that shit's going off. It's like that shit got old fast.
Yeah, I had the R2-D2 kind of alert Tweedle, the one he makes whenever the Tusken Raiders attack him. And I had to get rid of that really quickly. Yes. Yep, that was it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is so cool. Then someone texts you like 3 times in a row, and you're like, oh, God, turn this off.
Yeah. Flip the silent switch.
Turn this shit off. Right now, my message is this. It's, no, that's not it. It's the other Xbox One. What is it called, Bill? The achievement?
Oh, the achievement unlocked.
Yeah, that's one.
That's a good one. I should use that.
It's just a simple...
sound. Yeah, it's just kind of it almost sounds like something that would be stock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe if people hear it while you're walking around, be like, yeah, Xbox.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like
or
it
you,
at all.
You find an attractive woman in the GameStop and be like, oh, you play Xbox. Have sex with me.
I'm going to change mine to this.
Cock, balls.
There you go.
Oh, I got a message.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
Can you earmuff it for me?
It's funny when I say that to Emma. She's like, what? I'm like, earmuff. I got to say something.
Cock, balls.
That's such a genius invention, you know, the cock and balls. I mean, not that, the earmuffs. Jeez, Jason. Sorry, I'm out of practice, guys.
I guess it is pretty wonderful.
You know what's funny is I wanted to do a show last Friday, and I thought of it, except my daughter had a field trip at the Ross Perot Museum. Which, it's really cool, state-of-the-art thing. The building even looks like something out of Star Wars, if you want to Google it.
And there's like a hologram of him leading you through.
Now,
Now listen here.
Oh my God, we're gauging ourselves with a
Oh, come on, that was some of the greatest when him and that guy
Dana Carvey would do
by him and the crazy guy he had doing his vice presidency. Gridlock. Yeah.
Oh, God, what was that guy's name? He was like, was he Colonel something?
Colonel something, yeah.
But now, what was weird, when we first arrived...
That was a giant sucking sound.
When we got to Dallas, like, I hate driving in Dallas, first of all, because almost every other street is one way, and it freaks me out, you know? Because I'm like, oh, shit, is this one way or whatever?
Is it the right way?
But we had three other parents in our car. Heather was like, yeah, you guys can ride with us. And I was like, oh, shit, now I've got
pressure.
Anxiety. So I was having one of the dads tell me how to get there because I'm not good with Dallas. And I said, pretend like I'm from Nebraska and I've never been here before, even though I've lived here most of my life, all of my life. Except that doesn't count when it's Dallas. I don't live in Dallas, so I shouldn't have to automatically know how to drive there. That's what I tell Heather all the time. So anyway, as we're getting off the freeway and doing like a little U-turn under the bridge, Bill, you know how you tend to do that anywhere in the world? You know, you pull off and then you got to go around under the bridge. A car was going the wrong way. It was coming towards us. And I was like, holy shit! And I had to like pull over to the side as the lady drove by. And Heather said she looked like she was in tears, like freaking out, lost. And I go, oh my God, that's me if I was alone right now.
Well, I'll tell you right now, when I was down there, I've never seen those any other place but Texas. Those things that go under the bridge and then up and around.
Oh, yeah?
I've never, ever seen those. I was lost going to my hotel the first night from your house. Because I had to do one of those to get to my hotel, and I'm like, "What? I don't know where I'm going. What is this? It's telling me it's so
confusing.
It's weird driving around in different states, and they all have different ways of
their different systems.
Yeah, systems.
Yeah. I'd never experienced that before. I mean, it's really convenient when you think about it, because there's a million times where I'm going somewhere, and I'm like, man, if I could just hit like a little thing, it'll take me up and around. And I mean, it's smart. It's just really strange.
Oh, and that's Admiral Stockdale we're trying to figure out.
Stockdale. Can I finish?
His biggest crime was he was bad on television.
Yeah, and he just didn't know how to
Can
talk.
Can you warm up it for me?
Yeah. So, good times. No,
and
but
he,
anyway,
and he looked like the Purdue Chicken Man.
Yeah. My story was, Bill, that we went to the museum all day, and they told the field trip people, they said, don't use the elevators. That's for the regular customers, unless it's an absolute emergency. And we're like, okay. Because they didn't want, like, tens of kids going up and down the elevators, I guess, because we're in separate groups. So we had to take the stairs, and I was ready to die. There was, like, five
frozen
floors.
Asshole.
Yeah, so by the time we left, when I got home, I was like, I want to take a nap. And I never take naps, so that's pretty bad.
I almost have to take a nap before the show every week.
Oh, yeah?
I guess we're up late. That's true. That's very true.
Here's something interesting I've been going through, Bill, and I've told you about this. This happened once before when we were playing the Old Republic a lot, where my hands at the computer would start to get numb.
Yes.
And I would be like slapping them like, come on, I like can't feel my hands.
Or just kind of shake it out.
Well, lately I've been writing a lot on the computer and I'll be like, shit, like my hands just feel so shitty, like pins and needly, you know, and I'll like have to hang them down by my sides for a while. And today I was working on the show all day and I started getting that feeling again because, you know, my hands on the mouse the whole time and I'm making clips and I'm like, I think my hands are dying or something, where I need robot limbs. What do I do? Do I just, like...
It's an evil
no,
word.
You know what it is? It's carpal tunnel. You just need proper wrist support.
It's circulation, right? I mean...
No, it's a nerve. Nerve pinching in your wrist.
What do I do? Do I get an operation?
There's nothing you can do. I mean, there's wrist braces or there's you just need to give it proper support, you know, like those mouse pads that have the like the boobies at the bottom.
Yeah, Heather was telling me to get one of those little cushion things like in front of the keyboard.
Well, if you learn proper typing in class, they keep your hands elevated. You don't never rest them down.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
I've tried both. Like I have the keyboard down here, and that doesn't work. So I've been putting it up on the keyboard with my hands kind of hanging off the edge, and that's a little bit better. It feels weird at first, but then I get used to it. But I'm just...
When mine's really bad, I can't even play video games because, like, the holding the controller, just the way the fingers are stretched out and everything, my hand will start going numb and I have to shake it off. And I can only play for, like, maybe 30 minutes before it starts to hurt really bad. Mine's been bad this week because I was painting or staining my deck with a brush. Oh, I just did the motion with my hand. No. It's just something you have to manage. You have to figure out which way your hand will lay.
I have to get in the right position. Like, when I have the mouse up forward, I realize I'm reaching. That's bad, but I don't know. I'll figure it out, but I've been miserable this week. Stretch.
Bend your fingers back, hands back. Yeah. There you go.
Bill, I took a break from Grand Theft Auto 5. What about you? Are you still playing it?
I actually just started it back up like 2 days ago, and I'm kind of sucked back into it.
Yeah, it's a good story.
For a while, I was just kind of it was too much kind of almost like grinding, like MMO grinding in a way. Like whenever there's like nowhere for you to go and you got to do those little missions with the question marks next to them. And it's just like, go do this, go do that, go do this. It got a little old.
You know what's kind of fun? This is going to seem really silly. Just take a bike and go ride like on the beach.
I've walked through the mountains.
It's fun.
It is.
Exploring.
One night I was bored, and I even put it on Facebook and Instagram. I was hunting chickens.
I saw that.
I just spent like an hour and a half coming up with these scenarios where I was a sniper hunting chickens. Like that they were terrorist chickens. It was ridiculous. But I was having fun.
I started... you have a gas can in the game, and you can like pour gas on the ground and like lead it to a car, parked car, and then shoot the ground and watch the fire go up to the car and then it catch on fire and stuff. I've been doing stuff like that.
Love setting up like chaotic situations.
Yeah, like these people will be standing in front of a movie theater or something. I'll take the gas and do like a little ring of fire around them, and they're all like, and I'll, like, light it on fire, trying to set it on fire.
I think I need to work on anger issues because sometimes I'll, like, let's say at the end of a mission, it wraps up and you don't have a car for some reason. There's no car. So I start running along through town or something, and there's, like, one person on the street, and I'll just run up to him and clock him in the head.
Yeah, me too.
I just love doing that. There's something so satisfying about it. Like, there was a mission I just did where a guy's hitting on a girl, and the girl treats the guy like shit, and she keeps walking. And I was like, you know what? That's not right. I turned around and punched her in the back of the head. I was like, yeah, that's much better.
It's so funny
the things you do whenever you play.
Well, I encountered this, and I thought was hilarious. I was just sitting in traffic like a normal person. Sometimes I obey the traffic laws.
Yeah, I was doing that last night.
If I have a really cool car, I don't want to mess up. Like,
exactly.
I want to get this to my garage. There was a car in front of me, like a red sports car, and the light turned green and the car wasn't going. So I started going like that, and all of a sudden it turns red and the guy goes and he drove.
What an asshole.
That's what happens in real life when you honk at people sometimes. They're like, I'm not going. And then right when it turns yellow, they're like, and you're like, you bastard. The game did that to me. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. I'm glad that I've gotten back to it. I've mainly been sticking to the missions and stuff like that, but only recently have I started kind of exploring the world. And there's this one really annoying character, this guy that just base jumps off everything, and I need to do a bunch of those, but I just can't stand him.
Oh, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'm actually close to done with the story. Very close.
Yeah, I'm not that far, but there's weird pot type missions where you go up to this guy and he wants you to sign a thing for marijuana. Yeah. And he's like, here, take a hit. It's no problem. It's like, no, I'm good. No, come on. And you do it. And they, like, have this weird trip.
Yeah, it's I think Michaels turns into aliens and Trevor's turns into clowns or something.
What's crazy is the one with the clowns, that's Danny Elfman music in the background from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, I was going to say something. I had no idea.
But he has an auto shotgun that's like... And I was like, oh my God, I need that gun so bad.
And I love the cartoony, like, explosion, like the stars and question marks. And
but what's so funny about the Franklin, he's the black dude who smokes pot, like, all the time. He tries the pot and he goes, man, this shit is weak. It doesn't do anything to him.
Doesn't even touch him.
But the other two guys are like, whoa!
And the guy's like, what? You don't see anything? You don't see any monsters?
Aliens? He's like, what the monsters? Hell are you talking about? Oh, there's this great moment when Franklin's aunt and her friends, they're going to go running. They're like, we're getting in shape, or something. They're like singing a song, you know? And Trevor is walking up to his house, and they're singing, they're getting ready to go, and they're jogging. He goes, shut the F up. And they just get real quiet and walk by.
And they're like, yeah, they're meekly walking by him. Have you had to do the Trevor mission with the civil border patrol guys yet?
No. The last one I did of him is I go to this loading dock where I was operating the giant crane thing.
Okay, yeah. With the guy that Wade's cousin or?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Which that guy, Wade's cousin, that guy, not the guy in the apartment, but the other guy, he's like, hey, Trevor, you know, that guy. There's a
which one, Wade?
Is that him, the one who's a real dumb guy with all the piercings?
Yeah, he looks like he's an ICP guy, yeah.
Yeah, when he comes home and there's shit smeared everywhere, and he's covered in shit, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got a little messy. He's like, Jesus, what's that smell? He's, like, covered in shit. So the guy who lives there, he's like, what the hell happened to my apartment? It's, like, horrible.
Later on, you get the rest of the story about Wade, and it is just... that character, it's like it's so funny as you're playing the game. You're thinking, well, you know, this guy's really disgusting. And then you start to kind of warm up to him. And then all of a sudden something happens. And you're like, who is this asshole?
Yeah, what? Like, I'm not warming up to this guy.
Yeah, it's disarming.
Yeah. Have you gone to the movie theater yet?
No, I haven't done any of that stuff yet. I've only gone to the strip club once.
You've got to see the foreign film that's playing in the movie theater.
Okay.
It's so like this most pretentious art movie you've ever seen. It's so funny.
It's like a student film.
And you know how like how crazy dark humor the writers are of this game?
Like Pitch Black.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's like this black and white foreign film, and they show quick glimpses of things as the guy is talking, and it's just really hilarious. You gotta,
I think, case in point, the dark humor of them, I think, goes back to GTA 4 with the amazing Kleinman, where you go and it's like each time it's this magical act that he just bombs, and then in the last one he's gonna catch a bullet and he actually gets shot in the head. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, well,
each magical act is kind of entertaining, but there's something oddly twisted and disturbing about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just, you made her quadriplegic. You know, because someone distracted him.
With GTA 5, I think because I'm not binge playing it, I'm enjoying it a little more.
Yeah, I'm taking
it. But there's so many games out that I want to play that, like, I'll walk by and go, oh, I want to play that. Oh, I want to play that. And I'm like, no, don't buy it. You've got other things to play.
I kind of want to play that Ellen Page game, the Beyond Two Souls game.
I've read some really good and some really awful things about it. Like, you don't as much play it as just follow through the motions, kind of almost like QuickTime events.
Yeah, QuickTime events. And that's the thing that I know that I can take some QuickTime events, but I guess that's all QuickTime events. I don't know, but it looks interesting, and the storyline looks interesting.
I think the big news this week was that some creepy pervo went into it and found the like the beta or the developer's kit version of the game, and there's a naked Ellen Page. It's not even Ellen Page. I don't know what people are getting excited about.
Basically, there's a scene where she showers, but it's like
her
shoulders up. But in the developer's version, you can manipulate the camera to look down and see her nude body, where they even put like nipples on it and everything. And they're like, oh man, you can see her naked. It's like, there's porn out there, guys. Anything. Come on.
Yeah.
Do you really need to look at a digital chick?
I was watching the gameplay, and it's just shake controller to wash your hair. And I'm just
like,
sounds like
a lot of fun, but
I never played Heavy Rain, and I've heard that that's fantastic. I own it. I've never. Sat down and played
it. Maybe I should borrow it from her.
Yeah, but I guess it's very similar. I'm just not a huge fan of those sort of games. I like more interaction.
I am if it's a good story. I do know, like, that the Star Wars game Force Unleashed, when all of a sudden you were fighting a boss and it turned into a QTE, it would happen so suddenly you'd be like, oh, well, shit, what? And you'd go, no, and I'm dead. So you'd have to do it over again. And
it's
then the
jarring. And that's the way those... what are those Kratos games, God of War, where it's like hack and slash through the entire thing, and then all of a sudden it's QTE, and it's just, I hate when they're, it's lazy to me. I don't like quick time events.
Yeah, I like I like Dragon's Lair, though.
Yeah, well.
That was one big QTE event,
wasn't it? Yeah, well, it was an animated thing. I mean, those games were on Laserdisc, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I'll have to look into Beyond Consult.
Now, Bill, maybe we should open the back
door. Jingle bells.
Sorry, the damn baby. Dog, she wants out. And then she wants in. Then she wants out. That's the thing. You go ahead and leave it open. Just close the curtain, Stephen.
Raptor Beagle.
Hopefully won't be eaten alive by mosquitoes. The temperature.
I think the biggest, since we're on the video game news stuff, I think the biggest thing this week was Watch Dogs, the big launch title for the next gen consoles, was delayed till next spring.
I know. I was really looking forward to that game. It looks badass.
If I was going to get a PS4 or Xbox One, I probably would have bought that with it. So.
Right.
I don't know. And I just thought it was really strange that the timing was so last minute. I mean, literally a month away from the launch of the PS4.
Do you think they're just like, guys, we need more time. Do you want us to release a shitty game that's not finished or a really badass game a year from now or six months or whatever?
Well, I guess there's also a big thing going on in the game industry called crunching, where in the last bit of time before release, they literally have people on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there was a big thing that game for the Xbox One, Rise Son of Rome, somebody on their Twitter account posted, we will serve 17,000 meals to our developers while crunching. And I guess it just set people off that are aware of the situation. It's almost like indentured servitude. It's to get the game done, they will, destroy people's lives to get the game done.
Wow. It's kind of weird because that's an industry that, I mean, so many people, wouldn't we love to work in the video game industry? And then when you see that they do, like, work their asses off where it's, like, completely stressful and before a game launches, would you be willing to do that?
Hell no. that's not art. That's stuff that...
Go along with this or I'll cut you in half.
I almost think that whenever you're putting people through that much, that there's more of a chance of errors.
I remember
LA
Noir.
Or anything.
LA Noir, I remember the people rebelled against that boss and said it was like horrible conditions, working conditions and stuff.
That was the Team Bondi from Australia that developed that, and it took forever.
That's interesting because you never think about that. You think of like, man, these guys had a blast making this, but it's a lot of hard work and shit. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of number crunching and coding.
Like just playing Grand Theft Auto 5, you're like, all these people had a hand in creating this and it took forever.
And is there such small details? There was an article that I hadn't even written. No, I didn't write it, but I hadn't read it yet. It was like all the small details of Grand Theft Auto 5 And it's just, yeah, I mean, there's somebody sitting there thinking about all these little things.
Mm-hmm. Like that, all the different kinds of plants and
grass and flowers. To create this world. So it's a pretty intense...
Watch it, hardware.
...job, I would think.
That's crazy. Now, I have two voicemails. Why don't we get around to playing those, Bill? The first one is from Yudanasha. Let's check this out. Hey, woohoo! Steven, you ready for me to play this?
No, I am.
Okay, now go!
Hi, this is JF from Montreal, a.k.a. Yudanasha from the chat room. Just to let you know that you guys are doing an awesome job in doing this podcast. I started listening to you at the Halloween Train special and been listening ever since. Nice. Till about a year and a half ago, I wasn't working on Saturdays. So listening to you live always started my weekend on a great, fun, and joyous note. When I wasn't able to catch you live, I would listen to you either on the bus or the subway. Every once in a while, during my commute, I would catch a look from another commuter looking at me while I was trying not to laugh out loud.
Cool.
Priceless. This is my first video comment ever. Hopefully not the last. I want to let you know that I love you guys and it's a joy listening to you. Also, in episode 281, you came up with the subject of Honeycomb, and when you started to sing the song, I sang it with you. It was awesome. And that brought back a lot of childhood memories. Here's to a lot more entertainment landfill episodes. Thank you all for the hard work. It's appreciated. See ya.
Thanks. That was awesome.
He's been around JF. I call him JF. I believe it's Jean-Francois.
Yeah.
He's been around for ages, it seems. Like, I mean, he's one of our oldest fans.
He's a loyal listener.
Yeah, and, he sent me a clip on... trying to get my points up on airline miles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, I was like, I knew a lot of it, but some, you know, it's like, you have to stick with one airline. It's like, unfortunately, I don't buy my own ticket. So
yeah,
that's cool. Thank you.
He was really trying to be helpful for me. It was awesome.
That's sweet. Thanks for liking the show and listening to us all these years. We appreciate it. Now we have another voicemail. This one from Darren. Let's check it out, guys. Steven. Tell me when.
Now.
All right, here we go.
Good evening, Ed St. Landfill. This is Darren from Birmingham in the UK. Unfortunately, I have some bad news. I'm watching The Saint. It's a god-awful movie, but I have to watch it because my friend told me to. I've got half an hour into it, and I've had to stop before I have a brain fart. Your show, Entertainment Landfill. It doesn't really roll off the tongue as easy as maybe Nim, but then if you put Mulberry in front of Entertainment Landfill to get Mel, how about that? And Mel happened to be one of the presenters of this show that I'm watching a lot of recently, The Great British Bake Off. It's cookery British style, and it's amusing. It's baking. I'm not sure where it's best, but you know, it's a bit of entertainment. I'm not sure if you can get it over there, but if you do, check it out. Interesting bunch of presenters. One's a 78-year-old cook who loves to get pissed. The other judge is someone called Paul Hollywood, who I think he's actually trying to make it big now in America, and also launched his own recent series, Paul's Hollywood's Bread. Tells you all you need to know.
Okay.
I also like to report there was another disaster recently happened. My iPod Touch headphone socket stopped working.
No!
Which meant I couldn't listen to any podcast, including yourself, for about 2 weeks before I got Bluetooth headphones.
Nice.
They're awesome.
Nice.
I love them. Now there's no looking back. Well, mainly because I can't hear what's behind me. So I'll probably get run over soon.
Or see what's behind
before you. That does happen, I hope you don't mind if I mention that. But me and a friend do a podcast that, you know, inspired by yourselves. Called Movie Health Warning. and that will be
like
going
that.
For about 18 months or so. We welcome every email, including the spam ones, with glee. And
woohoo,
and to be honest, I'm not sure we've got any listeners, but hey ho, we get together, we see crap films, and we get drunk and talk about them. It's fun.
Excellent.
It brings us together. Kind of like, you know, what your podcast does. It just brings together a community of people. And I hope you keep doing it. Have a good night. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you, Darren. That's awesome.
What was the podcast called?
Health Warning? Movie Health Warning?
Was that okay.
I'm sorry, Darren. It went by real quick. I'll re-listen to it, and we'll link to it.
All right. Yeah, that's it. We got it.
Okay, that was it. Movie Health Warning?
MovieHealthWarning.com.
Excellent. Everybody check that out. Support our fellow podcasters.
With your hosts, Darren and Paul.
All right.
Cock, balls.
What? What does that have to do with anything? All right, guys, let's check out entertainment! Woohoo! Gravity! We all got to see Gravity when we were gone. Was that last Friday?
Friday before.
I think it was the Friday before last.
You were sleeping.
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, saw it in 3D, Bill. Saw it in XD. Mm-hmm. You saw it in IMAX.
Yes.
I bet that was awesome.
That was awesome. When my buddy Cole and I went, we were like, okay, well, here we got to sit close. So I think we sat like five rows from this massive screen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You don't sit on the top row like I do?
No.
Why not?
Well, we went opening night at 10 o'clock and there was literally no one there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
I was shocked. I was like, oh no, this isn't a good thing. But yeah, it was an older crowd, so you didn't have to worry about a lot of people talking or anything. So
it's a very quiet movie in certain points.
It's a very quiet movie, yeah.
And you might hear someone going, "Well, why? What's going on in this scene?" Oh, she's floating because they're in space. Oh, okay. It's like, oh my God,
she's in microgravity.
I can see the strings. This is so fake.
Is that like Microsoft?
Why doesn't she just swim in space? Can't you do that?
I think you can. This movie's so phony. Why is she spinning? Neil deGrasse High Tyson said it was phony.
What are we doing? But anyway, I really like the movie, Bill.
I loved it. It was
done.
So funny to watch. I kept looking over at my friend to see his reactions, and I've never seen somebody literally sit on the edge of their seat, and he was sitting on the edge of his seat. I was blown away. Like, by the end of it, it felt like when you get off a really great roller coaster,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you got that adrenaline pumping, and you're like, wow, that was, wow, you know, and then as you just kind of settle down, it's intense. I started getting teary-eyed on my way home, and once I dropped my buddy off, and I'm like, that last little bit of time as I'm on the road by myself at night, and I'm just starting to think about it, and then I like got emotional about it.
That's what I like when things start going through your head and you're remembering things. You're like, wow, that was pretty incredible.
But yeah, and
just I don't even know. Like I was telling Steven, I think they filmed that in space. I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, it was just the way the 3D accented like the curvature of the earth and the, like it was just these little things. It just felt like you were in space.
I also love how the camera would show like her, Sandra Bullock, and then it would kind of go beside her and then all of a sudden you're in her helmet and it's her point of view. That works so flawlessly.
Yeah, it did. Awesome. And even at the beginning there, before the first major cut, after that like 18-minute opening, the way it goes into her helmet, you know, just like it.
Yes.
Yeah, it was such a. It was masterful filmmaking. Honestly, just every little touch and thought.
It was so genius the way they every 90 minutes.
Yeah.
She would know to watch out. That was so cool the way they that established that. So you knew that was what it was going to come back whenever that beep went off. That was so masterful the way they did that. That whole International Space Station scene, I love it, you know?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
From the International Space Station, we'll just leave it there. But, yeah, it's just I've never seen anything quite like it. It's, mm-hmm. Just the way it sets it up, even just when you're thrown into it and the way the camera is floating alongside everyone. And it doesn't even enter your mind that there hasn't been a cut until after the first big, everything goes down. I've seen it now three times.
Oh, cool.
And every time I watch it, I'm just blown away. It's like a ballet. Mm-hmm. It's so perfectly choreographed, this chaos. And it's beautiful. If you watch, each time I watch it, I look at what's going on in the depth of the image.
Yeah.
Just to see how things are just exploding and shattering and flying which different way.
It's so effective how there's no sound in those scenes. I think it makes it more horrifying.
Yeah.
There's all this destruction and there's no sound to it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, oh my God, you know? And Alfonso Cuarón, he's such an exciting filmmaker, you know?
He is. He really is.
It's in the entire score to the film. I've got to listen to that. That's good writing stuff. I want to listen to that while I write.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful music. The moment I came home, I was like, okay, I got to find this.
There's times where all of a sudden the soundtrack comes in after silence and I would be like, boom, and you're like, oh shit. You know, like it scares you, you know, startles you a little bit. Oh man. It's cool. It's a great movie. I love Gravity, and I can't wait to own that Blu-ray. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I know it's not the same as a giant screen, but still, I want to just have it on my shelf forever. That's one of those kind of movies.
I have to go into the city tomorrow morning, and I'm already like, oh, if I head in there around 9 a.m., I'm building my whole day around the fact that I want to get back to the IMAX theater.
Cool. Is it still in IMAX?
Oh, yeah. It'll be in IMAX until November 1st, I believe.
And I'm so glad it's very successful, too. You know, it's a hit film and a movie that goes out of its way to be something different for us. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it's rewarded by being making a lot of money. So maybe they'll like, hey, let's keep making movies like this. You know,
the word of mouth on it is so cool because even the second time, when I took my mom to see it, and there's this couple getting their tickets at that booth, you know, the automated booth, and she's like, I don't know, I hear it's really intense. And, like, I couldn't help but go, Gravity? And she's like, yeah, I'm not sure about this. And I said, don't worry, you'll be okay, but it is going to be intense.
I think, like, honestly, it's intense, but not that kind of intense.
Exactly.
Where you're terrified.
That's
The Gray with Liam Neeson, that movie, I wanted to get up and leave the theater. That was mm-hmm. too intense for me, almost. I was leaning over to Heather, I go, this movie can go to hell. I want to leave now. What? What's wrong with you? I want to leave. And I'll never forget, there's one part where a guy is standing there, and a wolf all of a sudden goes, like right on his neck. And I had popcorn. I went, like that. And I like flung the popcorn out. And Heather just gave me a look like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, this movie's scaring the shit out of me. Is it not scaring you? Is there something wrong with me? But yeah, this movie is really intense, but it's not like The Gray type of bad. If there would have been like wolves floating in the space station, that would have scared the shit out of me, Bill.
I would have watched that. Space wolves.
Space wolves are attacking Sandra Bullock. Holy shit. All of a sudden she's got a laser. It's like, this movie took a weird left turn, guys.
Did it turn into Moonraker?
Did it really need to do this?
It turned into Moonraker. Oh my God.
What is Richard Kiel doing in this? Come on. And Pippi Longstocking.
I think it's an emotional, intense kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. After I saw it with my mom and the movie ends and flashes Gravity up on the screen, I looked over and I was like, so what'd you think? And she just kind of gave me this look like, it was like her lips were kind of like her bottom lip was drawn in, like she was thinking about it, and she kind of made a smile, and I was like, well, really? And then she looked at the screen and then looked back at me, and she just burst into tears. Like, I think it's this overwhelming, like, adrenaline rush that you just can't quite figure it all out.
Yeah, you got to sit there and kind of soak it in. I mean, it's about survival, surviving at all costs, and those are always the best stories.
Well, it's also about, it's about survival, and it's about acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about, you know, letting go and not really limiting yourself.
Letting
you know,
things
not,
go. It,
there's exactly. just, it's pretty deep.
Mm-hmm. I need to see it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait.
Steven.
Got to get back to the IMAX.
And my dad didn't reach over for any popcorn, Steven, so that was good.
You need to go see it at that place that has that Dolby Atmos or whatever.
Yeah, is there one around here?
I need to look that up. I thought it was. I know you have a theater that has that D-Box, the shaky seats,
mm-hmm.
and that's some place in Burleson.
Yeah, Burleson.
Burleson?
That's over by Crowley, I think.
Yeah, that's not too far.
That's over by my Aunt Vicky. Maybe I should go over there and see it.
If you go down to where the theater we go to, just go across.
Do you think that, you know, Ron Howard did Apollo, what was it, Apollo 13?
13, yeah.
Do you think he watched this and he's like, effing Alfonso Cuarón, damn you!
Yeah, he probably went, damn it. Why did I think of that?
And nobody's going to watch that movie again, Ron Howard's, and be amazed by anything in it. It's like, this shit sucks compared to Gravity.
So all your Atmos theaters are like north of Dallas.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Grapevine.
That's such a cool name, Dolby Atmos.
Actually, Grapevine's not... that's kind of what east.
That's
west
not
of Dallas.
Too. I'd rather go to Grapevine than Dallas.
The Harkins South Lake 14.
South Lake's by me.
Yeah. On between South Lake Boulevard and Highway 114.
I'd rather go to the Grapevine one. Is there one at Grapevine Mills or?
Yeah, that's this one. It's at Grapevine and
okay,
it's
I'll check that one
Gravity
out.
In. Cinema Capri, the ultimate movie-going experience. 70 feet wide, 40,000 watts.
Holy
stadium,
shit.
Stadium love seats and Dolby Atmos sound.
Love seats? Steven, let's go.
Uh-huh.
Seats of love.
Cock, balls.
Hey! What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, I don't think I in
can you earmuff it for me?
Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, the closest Dolby Atmos theater is Detroit for me, so I'm screwed. I love living in the middle of nowhere.
You know, the next film I'm looking forward to, I mean, I'm going to go see Thor, of course, when that comes out, but I'm really excited about Richard Curtis's new film. Richard Curtis's new film, About Time, Bill?
Yes, I can't wait for it.
I
cannot
wait
for it.
Like his other films, I mean, he kind of like snuck up on me because his films come out. It's been like they're all spread out. He doesn't make films like really quickly, you know. Like
he has been a writer for most of the time.
Right.
You know, I think his first film that he ever directed was Love Actually.
Yes, which that's one of those films, Love Actually. Anytime it's on, I'm like, oh, I'll watch this, you know. And you sit and watch it. And he wrote, of course, the screenplay to Bridget Jones' Diary and all that stuff. I don't even know all the things he's
written. Well, I mean, he's the writer, I think, of Blackadder, the series.
Yeah, Mr. Bean?
Yeah, with Mr. Bean. And, yeah, he also wrote Mr. Bean and, you know, Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yes, Bridget Jones' Diary. Did he do...
Notting Hill.
Oh, Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Four Weddings and a Funeral,
incredibly
yeah.
witty dialogue. And, of course, I fell in love with Pirate Radio when you showed me that. And
Boat that Rock.
I love it. Didn't you say that he made a completely other film with the additional footage of that or something?
On the Blu-ray for The Boat That Rocked. There's enough footage.
I said Pirate Radio jokingly, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. But there's enough footage on the Blu-ray for the Boat That Rocked that you could have a completely different film. There's almost, was it, It's either 40 minutes or 90 minutes of material.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane.
You know, you gave me that Blu-ray a long time ago for, I think, my birthday a couple years ago. And I never watched the additional footage. I need to do that.
It's great. You just sit down and he leads you through all the footage and talks about it and why he chose to use this against that or, you know. But it's you see little snippets of it during, like, the montages, like the summertime montages where they're throwing one of the characters in the water to swim. And there's more talk about that and kind of a conspiratorial way to try to get him in the water, and there's just all these really wonderful scenes. There's different scenes for each character. It's fantastic.
Really cool. And about time, the film. Everybody go watch the trailer of that, because it might look like this romantic comedy, which I'm sure it is, but the way Richard Curtis does film, they're so warm, you know. Mm-hmm. They make your heart feel fantastic, and the films move you at the same time as being hilarious.
He has a really good hold on that. Especially, I've talked about his episode of Doctor Who, Vincent and the Doctor, about Vincent Van Gogh, and it's kind of it uses that to kind of bring up a serious issue of depression, and it's one of those episodes that I can't get through without crying. Like, it's so well done for a Doctor Who episode that's basically about monsters. You know, it's just, but it's really wonderful. He's a great writer. He's one of my favorite filmmakers, easily.
Me too. And it just kind of snuck up on me where one day I realized I freaking love this guy, you know?
Yeah, and the trailer for it just looks wonderful. Just so much fun, and he always uses music really well. And he was talking about how he was listening to a Ben Folds album, and he heard a song like "The Luckiest," and it inspired him to write this film.
Awesome.
So yeah, and I was like, wow, one of my favorite filmmakers inspired by one of my favorite musicians. So this can't be a bad thing.
That's so cool. Can't wait to see that. Now, guys, what do you say we get into what's on our TiVo? You guys want to do that?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, let's do it. What's on our hopper? Or the genie? What's on our genie?
Genie.
Hopper.
All right, guys, if you don't know, guys, like if you don't see these commercials, the Dish Network Hopper commercials are really annoying, so look them up on YouTube.
Well, it's not even the TV commercials. You know, they're an advertiser during the Howard Stern show, and even their radio ads are grating.
Yeah. Whoever came up with it is just like wanted to annoy the shit out of us.
Well, Dish Network has confirmed that I will never own anything from them.
Right. It's all shoddy crap, right?
Hopper.
I always liked DirecTV better.
I like DirecTV better until they dropped TiVo, and I mean, I know they have a TiVo unit now,
they have
but
it
it's
back now.
Yeah, but I've never even bothered with it.
You know what I like DirecTV is Heather told me to drop Showtime, and I was like, you know, we could save some money. We're not watching it anyway. I mean, hell, I didn't even watch the final season of Dexter, which I heard was really good, Bill.
Oh my God!
So I call, and the guy goes, "Can I ask you why?" And I said, yeah, just to save money, you know, kind of we need to save some money right now. And he goes, how about I take off $10 off your bill for a year? I was like, okay. And he goes, I'll take, you know, $6 off of Showtime for 6 months in addition to that. I was like, oh, okay, that sounds cool. All right. Well, yeah, still have Showtime.
That happened to me. Like last month I called. And I had one of those things where it was a bundle where it was HBO Cinemax, Showtime, the movie channel. Or no, Showtime and Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, listen, I just, you know, I don't watch them. So I need to save money. I need to get my bill down. And they basically, they gave me what would normally be $40 for all four. They gave me, like, all of them for $12. And I was like, oh, Okay, I'll keep them then. Thanks.
Nice. Yeah, what is it? They're just like, no, please don't cancel these.
Yeah, I don't get it, but okay. That, you can't be making money on that, but I'll take it. Thanks.
It's like they'd rather give us money off than have us cancel the channels. Like, it hurts them.
At least
them
they're making something versus...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. It must hurt their... They must be about the subscription numbers and not the money.
Now, you guys know there's a lot of new shows that I'm watching now, but we don't necessarily have to cover any of those. I just wanted to say there's a reason that I keep going back to Arsenio. I'm fascinated by how
really
horrible...
watching it?
No! I just watched... His monologues will be up on the website the next day, and I can sit and watch the monologues and be dumbfounded by how awful they are. But I'm always entertained, Bill, by when he goes, hey, did y'all see this? And someone will go, no. Or they go, yeah. It's like, why are they answering our
scene? Yeah, it's rhetorical.
Like, are you stupid? But well,
they're at his show, so yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Well, you know they're just pulling people in off the street for that. Nobody actually gets tickets to the Arsenio Hall show.
It's like, hey, guys, you can get your Arsenio tickets right now. Hello? Is anybody
there?
It's all
homeless people shitting in their seats.
Yeah. Guys, hello. Arsenio tickets.
That's why they're answering. You're like, is he talking to me?
So, okay. I made a clip of Arsenio monologue. He's been doing it a month now. He's had to have worked out all the kinks, all the weird stutters and mumbling to himself. And the worst of all, when he laughs at his own joke. Like, he thinks it's as funny as the audience does. The funniest thing about it, though, is that, I mean, I don't know. I have a sense of humor, right? There's not something wrong with me that I don't think it's funny, is there? Am I from another planet or what?
It's just not funny.
Point, but
why are the people laughing because they're a captive audience?
Yes,
they get the sign.
There's somebody out there. They know there's a trained sniper drawing a bead on them.
It's kind of like the Long Walk or the Hunger Games. Bill, whoever doesn't laugh gets taken out.
They're all in there wearing iPods. Listen to our show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
All right, let's check this out, Steven. I'm waiting for you to laugh. The day one of you guys laughs, I'll stop doing this, okay? Let's check this out.
I'm supposed to be standing right here. I should know where I stand. I've been doing this for more than a month.
Yeah, Arsenio.
4 weeks is a month.
All your friends. I'm Arsenio Hall, and just like the government, I'm back, and back is beautiful.
Okay. Don't know what that means.
It's official. The government is back to work. That's the good news. And, of course, the bad news is that the government is back to work. Boy. Because of the shutdown, China has downgraded our credit rating. Now the U.S. is actually rated somewhere between Portugal and Lauryn Hill. We in trouble.
Isn't that pretty dated, Bill?
Speaking of politics, I read today that Governor Chris Christie is actually more popular in Jersey than Bruce Springsteen. That's kind of interesting. That's saying something really big. I'm pretty sure that one of those guys was not born to run, but
oh, facts.
Well, thank you. But it's interesting that
I'm just going to pause it there for a second, because when he said Chris Christie is more popular than Bruce Springsteen, you can hear a guy way on the right. I could hear him stereo sound go, wow.
Well, it's fascinating.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, I mean, that's
shit.
Really. That's something. That's something really important. That's crazy.
Let's go back to that for a second.
Then right. Bruce Springsteen. That's kind of interesting. That's saying something really big. I'm pretty
that
sure
that
one studio. Of those guys was not born to run. But
wait, why is he born? Oh, he's bad. Okay,
just doing that. He's that popular.
Clever.
Springsteen fan.
That's genetic, yes. You know?
According to the National Enquirer, I love this story. O.J. Simpson wants to become a TV evangelist. Yes, O.J. wants to become a TV evangelist. He says that he wants to teach others about the Nine Commandments.
Oh, I get it.
Was that funny?
She's been hate because he's been stealing,
O.J. said
too.
He's found God, and today God said, don't drag me into this juice. Yep, a man in Florida suffered second-degree burns when he tried to light a cross on fire.
Oh.
I actually have no joke here. I just like to say a man was burned for trying to light a cross on fire.
Yeah, let's clap for that. Clap for it.
Here's something is suffering.
I just read about this new website, okay? It's for Christian swingers. Yeah, Christian swingers. The site claims that having sex with a lot of different people is as natural as sharing food. That was the quote. Really? Really? I can't imagine going up to someone having sex and saying, excuse me, bro, you gonna finish that?
So filthy.
It looks good. Here's how Arsenio always takes it one joke too far. What kind of sauce is that?
Oh, wow. So,
donkey sauce.
So offensive, wasn't that, guys? It just offends my taste. Who is writing this show?
No God, one.
Balls.
It's so bad.
Nope. Actually writing it. They just, the jokes come from the ether.
Oh my God, it's so bad. He did this bit where he was like, did y'all know that they have a TMZ in Africa? And someone goes, no. And he goes, yeah, they do. Check this out. And it was an elephant walking, and it's like a photographer. Hey, where are you going? Hey, elephant. Hey, and he's like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Like a voice. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Is this an old Bob Saget bit from America's Funniest?
Yeah, that's...
Holy shit.
Wow. That's making me cringe. Just
it is cringe. I remember I would cringe so much at Bob Saget's comments on that show, but the worst were Dave Coulier on America's Funniest People, where it made my soul ache.
America's
Funniest
People.
And you know he'd do the jackalope.
Fast catch me.
But it was so goddamn bad.
Yeah, and yet everyone watched it because it was it on after or before America's Funniest Home Videos?
It was after. And you know what my favorite part is? They would show something on those shows. This is my favorite part of any of the shows. I always want to do like a spoof of this in a movie where they show some funny cat do some shit and Bob Saget makes a joke. They cut to someone in the audience react like, and it shows them laughing, or they show a couple like look at each other like,
our cat does.
I want to see some guy with a gun to his head and he's like, just blows his brains out on the people behind him.
They
wouldn't that
still
be awesome?
Do that. I mean, it's.
I want to do a spoof of that. I want to be the guy who they always cut to him in the audience. And you just see, like, his temple, like a vein. Like
one time I just wanted, like, somebody just staring at the camera.
Yeah, like die.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to kill myself.
You're going to get so much acid, it's going to be sick.
Excuse me? All right, are you guys watching MasterChef Junior?
Yes. No.
Emma loves it, which I don't blame her. I'm kind of watching it with her, but it's not as exciting as when adults are on the show. But I did. Emma wanted me to see this funny part, and you know, Bill, when you do the whip, when you make your own
whipped cream,
you yes. can hold it upside down; and it doesn't fall out of the bowl, right?
Stiff peaks, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stiff peaks. They explain that. Well, they have the kids, three kids do it. They compete for it. And when they're done, they get to hold their bowl over each of the judges' heads.
Oh.
And that's pretty funny because he only one of them does it right, the one over Graham Elliott.
No.
But, yeah, Graham Elliott.
Graham Elliott.
And then, like,
no!
Yes. Joe, it, like, dumps on his head, and they all think it's hilarious. Then they do Gordon, and you notice Gordon says an S-bomb.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, I mean sugar! Sugar! But that's not the part that I'm going to play a clip of. It's the girl freaking out as they're whipping. She keeps saying, whip like a man. And I don't know why she's saying this, but she's insane. So I figured I'd play it in a clip, Bill.
All right.
Let's check it out.
Three of you cooked the most amazing burgers. Galen,
the most
Alexander,
amazing
and Gavin.
Burgers.
Phenomenal job.
Because you had the best three dishes, one of you will get an advantage going into the next challenge.
Where the hell
to determine which one of you that is,
oh, it's
we are
sweet.
Going to set you three a competition
they don't
of
want to hurt the kids
your own.
Feelings.
So, Gavin, Alexander, and Kaylin, please step behind the counter. The rest of you, please, up on the platform.
Let's go. Nice.
You each have a metal bowl, a whisk, and some cream. This next challenge is all about whipped cream.
Trust me, whipping cream perfectly is not easy. To get the right consistency takes skill, strength, and stamina.
Alexander is going to win the whipping cream contest. He's like the pastry king, so he probably makes whipped cream in his sleep.
When we say go,
settle down, kid.
You will all begin to whip your cream.
Your, age.
Your goal is to whip it into a consistency where the cream won't drop out of the bowl if you turn it upside down. In our world of restaurants and chefs, we call that consistency stiff peaks.
Hey, don't patronize us, Joe, okay?
And whoever's cream stays in the bowl the longest is the winner. And that one person will then get a huge advantage in the next stage of this competition.
All right, your time starts.
Yeah?
Now.
No! No!
Okay, listen to this girl.
It's super hard to whip cream.
You know that she's heard her mom yell at it like a sports thing.
I picture her yelling at her beaten down
father. Yeah.
My strategy is just moving side to side, actually, in the bowl, because when you keep turning it like this, you're like wasting time because it just could tap out. They were whipping so hard. There was cream all over them. There was cream all over
the table. That's just not right at all.
It was really funny because Sarah next to me, she was like, come on, come on. Gavin,
she's not saying come on, come on.
Stop whipping! And I was like, this is a different side of Sarah.
Stop!
Whisks in the air.
Wow.
Big Al.
Well done.
Now, the kid who won it,
so
doesn't he seem a little
Alexander
like, oh, I did it, mummy? Kind of like a kid.
Not going to fall.
He's really cocky.
The bowl is held upside down.
But there's only one real way of finding out.
Yeah, whatever. We already explained it. You dump it over your head.
Oh, Mumsy, I won.
Mumsy, I beat all the other kids, the lower class children.
All the other kids didn't have the arm strength, Mumsy.
Oh, Chauncey, I'm so proud of you. Here's your bowler cap. Thanks, Mummy. Mum.
I think you should wear a pork pie hat.
Yeah. What's with that girl, though?
She is going to be a freaking annoying gas bag when she gets older.
Gas bag?
You will all begin to whip your cream.
Oh, okay.
Whip like a man, Gavin! Whip like a man! Do it, Gavin! Whip like a man!
Oh, my God.
Gavin! Whip like a man! Whip like a man! Don't stop whipping! I don't want to
like, shut up!
I wanted Gavin to say that. Shut the hell up!
Give that girl 20 more years and imagine her screaming at her husband or her children. Yeah.
Wow. All I know is I'm really hungry after Gordon says something like this.
The most amazing burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Burgers.
I want some amazing burgers. Now, I want to talk about Top Chef real quick, and then we're going to take a break, Steven, because I know you have to pee really bad. No, I don't really know that. I'm just saying
don't
that.
Pee on the floor, Steven.
Yeah, not please again. Don't do that.
I can blame it on the dog.
Baby has done that enough times. She actually hasn't done it in a long time, so she's potty trained and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, Bill.
It's okay.
But Top Chef. Have you guys been enjoying Top Chef Nolens?
Yeah.
It's interesting. They're trying to mix it up, you know, with the stew room video and all that stuff, but yeah. They still haven't changed that god awful music.
The music will never change.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that music so much at this point. Oh, yeah. Burner.
Are you just talking about the theme music? I'm talking about all of it.
No, the theme music ding, in particular.
Or, you win. They play the little acoustic kiss me under the milky light. That's music always reminds me of that song.
Sixpence None the Richer.
Yeah, it always reminds me of that whenever somebody wins.
Do they have a house? They're the house band.
Yeah, just camera pans over. They're there. They play it live every time. Yeah, so I'm enjoying the show.
Sixpence None the Richer.
I do notice that a couple of people that are shaky that you know are going to go soon.
Yeah.
Like there's one guy, he's got kind of curly, short hair, and he's kind of a jackass. Last week's episode, he noticed that, oh, they're running out of food, so I'm doing much better than those people. But he didn't really realize the reason they're running out of food is because everyone's eating their food. They're like enjoying it and going back like, hey, can I have some more? It's like, all right, I'm running out. But he's like, oh, they're running out. They're not doing too good.
Just totally clueless.
Yeah, just this is a funny part.
They must not have made enough food.
That's when they did the food trucks. And there's that one guy, his name happened to be Jason. And he was like, well, we're kind of a surfer vibe. So I'll do the front of truck, like front of house, I guess, Bill. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I look like a surfer, so I'll stand out here and greet people. And it's like, what? And he made a wrap like way early, so it stayed in a container and got all soggy and gross.
Yum.
Not good. So let's check this out. My favorite part so far of the season is like, there was the one guy where his food was too hot, Bill, and he decided to put ice in it to cool it down.
Yeah. And they're like, why would you dilute it, you idiot?
Yeah, I love when he goes, well, how did you cool it down? And he says, oh, I put ice cubes in it. And you see Tom Colicchio like, huh? Like he has this look of horror on his face.
Why would you do that?
Please pack your knives and go.
It's the same thing when people say, he goes, so did you taste it first? Oh, no, I didn't have time to taste my food. And they're like, what? You didn't taste your own food? Yeah. Like this week, didn't they had some kind of seasoning on their pork chops, Bill.
Yeah.
And one guy made it for everybody.
Yeah, the blackening seasoning or
whatever.
And they
go, did you taste it? And he goes, no, I didn't have time to taste it.
So that's why everything was under seasoned.
So let's check this out.
So what's the bad news?
Unfortunately, they'd like to see the blue team.
Damn you, blue.
You had our least favorite dishes, and one of you will be going home. Well. How do you think the day went?
To be honest, I was surprised that we were here. I had heard other teams had run out of a whole bunch of things, and I was like, hey, you know, that's a good sign for us. We had enough food for everybody. We didn't run out of anything.
No, I don't think it is.
They had to make the same amount of dishes, but people were going back and getting seconds because they liked it.
Think about that for a second.
So who did what?
I did the shrimp, and I wanted to do kind of like a play on shrimp and melon.
Actually, I liked the tomato melon mix. I thought the peas were a little too crunchy.
And then if you hadn't told me there was watermelon in there, I would have been hard-pressed to figure it out.
Brett, tell us about your dish.
Knowing it would be hot, I did the coconut ceviche.
It wasn't cold enough to begin with, and you gave us a tostone that was smoking hot. Like, I could barely pick it up.
Okay.
Ceviche has to be cold.
Yeah, whatever. Shut up.
Jason, what do you like about a hand roll when you get a hand roll?
Crisp, refreshing, and you can eat it with your hands.
Do you think you delivered on those things?
I do not.
instead of rolling them ahead of time. I absolutely should have rolled them to order.
Why did you roll them ahead of time?
So that I could stand out front and expedite and kind of interact with the guests.
I'm a little curious about why you sort of sacrificed your dish to be a host.
Mm-hmm. When it kind of became the surf truck, Nick kind of suggested, well, he looks like a surfer and
fantastic.
Did you know that it was going to hurt the dish by doing that?
No, I didn't.
How did you feel about your sandwich or slider?
Maybe it wasn't as complicated, but I thought it was, you know, straightforward.
You're right there. Food does need to be complicated, but when it's not complicated, everything in there needs to be right. And that tomato is just terrible. I mean, did you think it was good?
It was nothing special.
If it's nothing special, well, then don't use it.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll see you in a little bit. I don't think they knew that their dishes missed the mark as much as we thought they did.
Their priority wasn't, let's make the best food possible. If that was their priority, Patty would not have put that tomato on that tuna dish.
Against all these other people that are Patty, passionate
that
about what they're doing.
Goddamn tomato!
Hey, Chuck, put a tomato on
Nicholas's wasabi pea thing.
It just really wasabi took down the dish. Pea.
That little garnish is actually a great example of how important those tiny details are.
Well, and if that's the worst thing that we
ate,
then
I
don't think it was. Yes.
No, it's going to be it's a little,
bigger piece.
You know what I mean? It's not like anybody made a grave mistake.
I keep getting on Jason for the roll not being rolled to order and it wasn't crispy,
yeah,
but there was something
off,
inside of that roll that was pretty bad, too.
It completely fell apart in my hands. I took one bite and the texture was so soggy.
But he looked like a surfer.
Thinking about it now, I want to punch myself in the head.
That was so stupid. Hey, I look like a surfer. It's like, who gives a shit? Make your food, asshole.
While we're listening to that, and like each, like, comment where it's like pointed or, you know, in a bad answer or something, and they do the little sound effect like the trombone whistle or the gong and all. There needs to be a sketch where they're doing that and then someone like shows up behind them and does the or
they
the
do a gong,
the
behind
gong
their
head.
Or, you know, like scare the shit out of them, have a whale and orca behind them.
And they're doing it in an aquarium.
Or a dolphin. Spits water on them or something.
A walrus.
Wouldn't that be funny, Steven?
Yes.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Steven.
Okay.
Can you hear Muffet for me?
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Fangasm. What do you guys say? You want to talk some Fangasm?
It. Yes.
All right. We'll be right back.
Your time starts now.
When it's morning in New Orleans, coffee lovers head for Brennan's Restaurant for that all-important first cup of the day. This morning, we're secretly switching their fresh-brewed coffee with dark, sparkling Folgers crystals. Can these people tell the difference?
He's a monster before he has coffee in the morning.
I'd like to be around while this is being brewed.
This smell would wake me up in the morning. This big cup.
It's Folgers crystals.
Oh, really?
Makes me feel like I'd find my keys in the morning if I'd have a cup of this.
Folgers crystals. Start your day with the coffee rich enough to be served in America's finest restaurants.
Count Chocula.
And Frankenbetty.
Coming your way.
How about a
monster
for breakfast
today?
Frankenbetty has strawberry-flavored marshmallows.
And Count Chocula has chocolatey marshmallows.
Part of this called
nutritious breakfast.
Something free lurks in Monster Cereal. Will it make you handsome? Charming? Specially marked boxes of Monster Cereals? No. Inside one of these free wax lips, fangs, or mustaches, they just uncover the real you. This Halloween, when you stock up on Pepsi and Doritos, you'll find coupons for savings on Hershey's candies. It's the perfect recipe for a...
Party! Wicked!
Here's something to howl about. This week at Florida supermarkets, specially marked Pepsi-Cola 2 liters are just 89 cents. As Halloween approaches, you have to prepare yourself for what might happen.
More orange sprinkles.
It's a special time of year, and Dunkin' Donuts is dressing up their donuts for the occasion.
And here's the werewolf.
So come to Dunkin' Donuts and get into the spirit of Halloween.
We'd like some Halloween donuts, please.
Oh, of course.
It's the Pizza Head Show.
Hey, everybody. I'm on my way to Pizza Hut to get a Goosebumps Kids Pack. Yay!
Almost there.
Hey, this isn't the right way.
Well, Scarecrow Steve says it is.
He's no Scarecrow.
Sure he is.
Uh-oh, I think I woke the neighbors.
Look, Pizza Head, you'll be perfectly safe in there.
Okay.
Relax, the Goosebumps guys just want you for dinner. See you in the next lifetime. Now you can collect one of three ghoulish Goosebumps Glow and Tell story card sets when you buy a Pizza Hut Kids Pack.
Wanna go psycho with me, Elvira, here at the Bates Motel? Look for me wherever they sell mug root beer. And enter the Go Psycho with Elvira contest. You can be my guest at Universal Studios in Hollywood for a monstrous bash at the Bates Motel. Shower, anyone? This Halloween, go psycho with Elvira and win a party with mug root beer and me.
I love my mug.
I love it.
Halloween's a perfect time for baking
spooky cookies. Just roll out Pillsbury sugar cookies, cut, bake and decorate, and feed them to your goblins. So much fun there.
Scary.
I just love Halloween.
Mama, what's my costume?
Well, we already have a daddy, so... How about a mummy?
Where's your costume, Miles?
What am I going to be for Halloween?
Yo, Ronnie, how about a clown?
What's frightfully fun at McDonald's? Four McDonaldland friends with clip-on costumes. And four McDonaldland capes.
I like to dare myself.
Eight to collect. One with each happy meal you buy. Happy Halloween.
Look out. Because this Halloween, Toys R Us is your Halloween headquarters. You'll find every trick or treat under the moon. A monstrous selection of costumes and a dungeon full of decorations. At prices so low, you'll howl. So this Halloween, bring the entire family to Toys R Us for a Halloween selection so huge. It's scary.
Micro Machine Man here. I live for the night, so I carry my own light. Micro lights. Touch them like slow, they really glow, but that's not all. Try these amazing Micro Machines lights to sound vehicles. They come with a mighty mini building, have real glowing emergency lights, and make two sounds. Check out the super micro lights with lights that glow and passengers to go. Where do you play with this light and sound? Show the Combat City playset. There's a happening heliport, military lift, pivoting gun turret, and fantastic firing rocket. But look out. In case of a real emergency, get the Emergency City playset. There's the fabulous White House, ambulance station, rear ramp, and helipad. Micro lights, lighted sound vehicles, super micro lights, and playsets, each sold separately from Galoob.
Remember, if it doesn't say Micro Machines, it's not the real thing!
Some glow-in-the-dark bags. This is the best costume ever!
I'm a pirate.
No.
Spaceman?
No.
Ninja?
Look what's rising out of the pumpkin patch this Halloween. The Pumpkin Cutter. A great way to let your kids carve their own pumpkins without sharp edges that cut little hands. It even makes toothy grins easy to do. The Pumpkin Scoop removes seeds and pulp better than any spoon. And the Pumpkin Light replaces dangerous candles with glowing results. Have a great pumpkin this Halloween with the Pumpkin Cutter, Pumpkin Scoop, and Pumpkin Light. Pumpkin Cutter products available at Long's Drugs and Safeway.
Halloween's coming. What are you going to do about it? Whether you do a little or a lot, be an original this Halloween and find yourself at Hallmark.
And at participating Hallmark stores, get your hands on the Spooky Sounds tape, full of creepy sounds and Halloween theme songs. $1.95 with any $5 Hallmark purchase, only at participating Hallmark stores. Ah! It's a scream.
Why so glum, son?
I lost all my trick-or-treat candy.
Take some of mine.
Wow, Hershey bars, Mr. Good Bar, Kit Kats. Rulos, Watchamacallits, Reese's, all my favorites. Let's go get some more.
Sure, let me go ask my mom.
Nobody says boo to Hershey's.
It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, sponsored by Peter Paul Cadbury, maker of Mounds, Almond Joy, York, and Cadbury's Dairy Milk Chocolate, and by New Blue Bonnet Butter Blend.
Last year, one of everyone's favorite candies appeared in a Halloween-sized pack.
Skittles.
And word spread quickly.
Is this the house that gives Skittles?
Gargamel's evil hexa, Mother Nature, could freeze the little blue folk out of their village forever.
We must take action.
It's the Smurf Springtime Special tonight.
Hi, Alf here. Me and my pal Brian are hosting all your favorite NBC shows this Saturday morning. It's going to be out of this world.
First the Pac-Man eats through a maze of dots. Then the Pac-Man heads for the corner spot. Then he eats his fill of a power pill. And then all those ghosts turn blue. Boo! And Pac-Man eats them all too.
Have you played Pac-Man? It's the new video computer game everyone's talking about. And naturally, it's from Atari.
Have you played Atari today?
This is Candyland, a place you pretend to visit when you play this game. The cards show you how to follow the path through Candyland. You'll discover the gingerbread plum tree, a rainbow pass, and gumdrop mountain. But be careful of the cherry pitfalls, and don't get stuck in molasses swamp. You don't have to know how to read or count to have loads of fun in Candyland. Candyland, a game for people 4 to 8, from Milton Bradley.
This is what I wonder. If this is just right, how can that one be just right? I mean, here they have fruit and nuts with all those flakes. And there they have fiber nuggets. Huh? So this isn't just a little better, or maybe it's a little worse. It's just right, just like the other one. Hey, they both taste great and they give you all those vitamins, but the thing is they're doing it in different ways. So they may both seem just right, but it's just not physically possible.
Kellogg's Just Right. For the perfect blend of 100% nutrition and great taste, no other cereal is just right.
Of course, I've been wrong before.
Watch.
Wow.
It's a Shrinky Dink shrinking.
It's puffing.
Puffy, fuzzy Shrinky Dinks. Shrink and puff. All you do is trace, color with special pencils, and cut out.
And I bake in the oven for 3 magic minutes.
Look at that. It's shrinking.
It's puffing.
You can make decorations, tags, jewelry, anything you want. There's a Shrinky Dink kit for everyone.
Psst, over here. I'm a boglin. Me and my buddies need a place to hide out. Come a little closer. Oh, did I scare you? Oh, I do that so well. If you take us home, we'll kiss your Aunt Martha. We'll eat your peas. And we hope you know lots of girls. Hey, the name's Boglin. You're sold separately. And we're looking for good homes. Maybe yours.
Sounds like a lot of fun,
but oh, he left us hanging. Hey, you guys want to talk about Fangasm?
Yes,
sure.
Do you guys want to talk about pitching a superhero idea to Stan Lee?
Yes.
Oh boy!
Wow. I'm there. I will be kind, but all their ideas were horrible. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes.
My favorite though is Paul's. Insubordinate.
Insubordinate.
And I have a clip here where he talks about it, where he's just going, 300,000 people on this date downloaded so-and-so, and they're like, what?
I just would have loved to have heard Stan Lee's inner monologue.
I was like, holy shit, is he ever going to stop? But I love also Molly. She goes, I want you guys to pitch an idea to Stan Lee. She's like, well, I already have a comic book already worked out.
Overconfident girl.
Yeah. What?
Know-it-all girl.
Do you love how whenever they show them, they're like, like, someone needs to tell her you don't need to do that shit. Do you realize how you come off? Maybe the show, she'll watch it and realize,
like the snot?
Yeah, I come off.
But I know people and... in particular, girls like that, who they just put on this air of superiority, and they're just, they've got nothing.
You don't need to. Just be cool, man. Hang back. Everyone notices you and whatever you're, you know.
And yet she's always the first one to start in on the, you shouldn't objectify women. Like, it's just, that seems to be her thing. It's like she is the resident victim.
She chooses to be like, what's funny is she's really strong. She says she's strong. And, you know, I overcame all these obstacles and I was very insecure. I had body issues, which is fine. Good for you. But you don't got to tell us about it all the time. We get it. We know you now. We're living with you. You seem like a cool chick. You don't have to announce everything all the time. You know what I mean? Like Danny and the other girl, what's her name? They don't have a problem with it. You know, they seem pretty cool. Do we even want to talk about Sal and him? Like, I'm going to draw her a picture. She's going to like that. It's like,
all right.
I'm going to act like I'm 8 years old.
I got a crush on you. Would you like to go out with me? Checkbox one. My favorite guy on the show is Andrew, though. He just
I didn't think
me.
He was going to be until, you know, you finally start getting to know him, and he's actually really
good guy. His laugh is awesome. And I didn't even know he did stand-up. I liked
his
awkward
think that's that's debatable.
But also
his attempt at stand-up.
Yeah.
Yes, attempt.
And his girlfriend's really sweet.
She's adorable.
They're a cute couple, how they were both laughing. They both have
crazy. It's like at the end of Revenge of the Nerds.
It's funny. But let me go ahead and play the first clip. Let's see what happens, all right? Let's check this out.
You guys get to create your own superhero idea. Ooh. I want you to create a superhero with an arch nemesis, a storyline, costumes, a theme, superpowers. You're only going to meet Stan Lee. You get to pitch and sell a story to him.
Oh, my God.
Regina blows all of our minds, and I'm immediately fighting back tears because I can't believe that I'm going to be meeting one of my heroes.
Have pictures,
props,
costumes, drawings. This is Stan Lee. This is the person who put comics where they are at. He made Spider-Man, for f***ing sake.
I never thought in my life that I would even meet Stan Lee. The fact that I get to pitch a comic is incredible. I just know that I'm so excited, but I am scared. I'm scared out of my mind.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but just remember, you only have 5 minutes to pitch this to him. So this isn't a competition. This is an opportunity to meet one of the icons of the industry. Plus, I need my employees to be able to handle themselves around celebrities in a calm way and to be able to present ideas to them clearly.
Andrew,
I already have a comic book written, so I'll just adapt it.
Of course you have.
That's the best thing. This is my dream.
Molly has done everything in the world. She has met Jesus. She has gone to the moon, and she has fought Muhammad Ali.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
What?
Stan Lee, oh, this is huge.
Yeah. I, like, immediately started tearing up.
It's so bad.
Like, how are we here?
I wanted him to tell Sal to take a cane to his cheek so bad.
I always thought the idea of having a superhero that doesn't have an alter ego would be cool.
My superhero is the Pink Sorceress. Her weakness is if she can't use her voice, then she's going to be unable to speak.
Okay, I just want to say, okay, Pink Sorceress, hello, Scarlet Witch much? Also, Andrew, his character, he goes, my guy's name is The Falcon. And there's a character in Marvel Comics called The Falcon.
But what does the pink and the sorcery have anything to do with anything her character does?
It's her voice. Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't she have a voice-oriented name?
I immediately thought of the Scarlet Witch when she said the Pink Sorceress. But then Andrew's like, my guy is the Falcon. And I was like, I wanted to stand and go, well, actually, Andrew, the Falcon is part of Marvel Comics. And in fact, he's going to be in the new Captain America movie. But no, that's okay. Let's keep going.
Weak and unable to cast spells. I'm going all out for this.
High school teenager, and she is the most preppy, most annoying, most cheerleader, like superhero.
This guy's
ever.
Just sort that of obsessed with women way too much.
Not a good idea.
I thought it'd be fun to do.
I'm so excited I get to go in there and pitch my ideas to a legend. But my worst fear right now is not finishing this project and looking like a damn...
Well, I want to say, dude, you're a black man. Black people are way underrepresented in the superhero genre. I know
there
are black superheroes.
Yeah, but he wants to do a white...
He wants to do a white
girl.
Teenage cheerleader who's pregnant. Do an awesome black warrior, you know? Do something cool.
But is she abortion girl?
Stan Lee, the guy who created
the
entire Marvel universe,
out of her
pretty
vagina?
Much. I have my storyboard, which is awesome if you want to just sit down and read for an hour. So I need something visual. I need sparklers. I need squirrels fighting. I don't know what I need. So something
need
that he can see and touch.
My superhero is Cicada. She's stronger and faster than the average human. But every 17 days, she reverts back to her really, really frail, feeble body when she had arthritis. I think it's a really good idea.
The name of my superhero is Insubordinate.
Maybe she has muscular
although he's not
dystrophy.
Really so much a superhero, so much as a vigilante who goes around fighting the system. So now that I have all the supplies,
yes, but what
I
system?
First need to work on my mask. I've decided that
Windows
I'm going to
8?
Spray paint the eye of the mask and just make a solid black with like dripping down, almost
you
like kind of like
crow?
A blood sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Cicada.
Mariachi band.
I loved that her character's name was the Cicada. In fact, I liked her character the best. How it was someone, but I wanted like every 17 days she for another 17 days is
she turns into a cicada.
Does she have arthritis for 17 days, and then when that 17 days is up? For another 17 days, she's superpowered again?
It just means she has to take a leave for 17 days.
She has to take a leave. I'm stepping out of the superhero business for 17 days, guys. I was very confused by that. But anyway, Cicada, I love it. All right, let's see how this went. But I love Paul's pitch of... Insubordinate. Well, that's another thing. He wrote Insubordinate Comics on a banner. It's like if... it sounds like you have a company called Insubordinate Comics.
Yeah.
If Stan Lee likes your idea where he's going to buy it, which he never would in a million years, it's not going to say Insubordinate Comics on it. It's going to have his comic company logo on there.
I don't know if they realize this, but Stan Lee doesn't have any money.
He has POW Entertainment. He does have money. He makes $1 million a year for Marvel. I know. And maybe
does he?
$2 million. Yeah.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, but he's got production deals and stuff. Trust me, he's got plenty of money. But the thing is, do they really think that he would buy their ideas?
No. honestly, they did this to put Stan Lee in it before the last episode.
Right. And
because
also,
I think the finale's this coming week.
Honestly, I got to tell you, my favorite part of the show is when they're just hanging out. They don't need to do these stupid other things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even on The Real World, do you remember, I don't know if you ever watched Real World, like, back in the early days, they always gave them a job.
BS jobs, yeah.
BS jobs they had to do, in addition to just getting drunk and fighting and shit and making out.
I mean, I vividly remember, like, the New York, the first one, and... I mean, there were some good ones there.
I mean, I really like the show and stuff. It's just funny how I just love their bad ideas. It's so easy to trash somebody's idea. Let's face it, you know.
Particularly awful.
The worst was Sal's, where he was dressed in that furry outfit and stuff.
Everything Sal does is terrible. Everything. Like, what it was? Was it like a nunchuck? It, like, reminded me of Indian Chief.
I didn't understand his idea at all, and it looked like he gave Stan Lee a stroke when he was talking to him. But there's one part where he's going to go on a date with Danny to eat some gelato. And just Andrew's there joking around with him, and all of a sudden Andrew starts laughing and he can't stop. And that shit was hilarious. Let's check this out. I don't even know if that's this clip. Let's just play this clip.
You're getting ready for your date, right? Where are you guys going?
We're gonna get some gelato.
You get the Italian ice cream and then things start happening. Is that how it goes?
Italian ice cream and then boom, all the clothes are off. I almost spit up my water. Andrew's laugh came out of nowhere. If you weren't laughing beforehand, once he starts laughing, you will be.
or something.
He has the best laugh.
It sounds like a bird.
You okay?
All right. I think we're about to be pushed to. 665 million people use the world's most common social media form every single day. And now mobile users have reached to 818.4 million users every single day.
I don't know what Paul's talking about, and I'm tuning in and out right now. He's not really sure of himself. He's not confident in his character, it seems like, and he's not really confident in himself.
60.3% more than it was just 2 years ago.
He's just saying numbers, man. Just do your pitch. This is the superhero. This is what happens to him.
Also, I need to add in, he can travel through time, but he doesn't have any control over it. This is Insubordinate Comics.
I think everyone's done a really good job with their pitches, but I don't know much about Paul's. His posters say insubordinate, but I have no idea what it means.
My only suggestion is that in the beginning, you started with a lot of numbers. If you can, use less numbers.
The only thing I have to add is I had a little bit of a hard time following it.
It was good, though.
This evil corporation, in order to save the world from being lost into the social network. However, his biggest weakness is that he has to go against his brother, and he has some emotional loss due to him losing his wife through the time travel process, and his main goal is to go back to the time which he believes and knows to be true.
Well, it's always good in a superhero strip to also have a lot of personal problems and personal situations. Oh, Stan, but he's so the one calm. Guy who might make everything better if
that's
he succeeds.
The hope. Is that if he
make
succeeds?
Life on this planet better.
There you go.
Thank you very much for
thank
showing
you very
it
much,
me.
Mr. Lee. Right.
He was being so nice to him. He's like, I didn't understand a goddamn word he just said. I love when Molly pitches to him and he's like, well, that was one of the most interesting pitches ever. She's like, Stanley said I gave one of the best pitches he's ever heard. It's like, I don't think he said that exactly.
Yeah, not what's, quite.
When the whole cast gets to see the show played back, they're like, wait a second. Now we get to see what he really said. All right, I have another clip, guys. Let's check this out. I don't remember what happens here. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
So, yesterday was pretty exciting.
It was incredible.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
So, were you guys nervous?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, he's a living legend.
It really is.
So, how do you feel? Like,
Stan Lee told me that it was the most unique pitch he's ever heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Is that,
that was
so?
Pretty cool. He said that he has never heard anything like it.
Stanley said that was the greatest pitch ever, and there's the most unique idea ever. I'm gonna be super famous.
I talked to Stan. So,
that's pretty much it.
First, he wanted to say that you all did really good, and it was great effort.
Let him down gently.
And it was very brave for trying and going, because he understands. But you guys put a lot of work and effort into it in that short time. He's not going to move forward with anything, but he did say, keep trying, keep working hard at it.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Because obviously, I mean, you guys only had a couple of days to do this, so... If
she couldn't sound any more disinterested.
Working on them, developing them.
It's amazing to see Lisa. She's my girlfriend, but at the same time, she's like my best friend. She's the person that holds me up.
So then, you guys work every day, and then at the place.
Almost.
Oh, that's cool. So do you like do filing and phone calls and all that stuff? Or?
Pretty much.
We're not cool enough to do the phone calls, but.
I would just love. I would love to see you making a phone call.
They don't. They don't the,
a man's rope. Okay, sorry.
<That's awesome. laughs> My God, there's two Andrews in the world, and we just found the second one.
They sound like hyenas.
They're
they sound exactly right for each other. And quite honestly, I don't think I've ever seen Andrew with this big of a smile on his face.
Nice meeting you.
She is just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, she's working.
She's actually really cute.
What do you think their sex is like?
No! It's Molly! It's so awkward!
Why would you want to know that?
Why would you want to know that? So, this final part here. Come on, guys. We don't have a lot of shit to talk about. Let's also admit we're enjoying the show, right?
Come on, we are.
When they all dress up like zombies,
yes,
and they go to what the hell was it? It's a place where you go as a zombie or a costume,
drink and draw,
where comic artists draw you, right?
Right.
And what's the black dude's name? Mike.
Yes, like Mike.
What the funniest thing about all this is he's there macking on chicks, but he looks horrible. He's a zombie, right?
Yeah.
And he's dressed in bad 80s clothes. Sal, he's pouring his heart out to Danny, and he looks like a friggin' truck hit him in the face.
Yeah.
He, like, you can't even recognize him.
And even as he's pouring his heart out, I'm sitting there going, dude, just shut up. Shut up. Yeah. Please stop. Please
look
stop.
Look in the mirror.
Please.
You look terrible. And, you know, I noticed, like, the girls, they didn't look so bad. They look dead, but they look like girls.
Yeah.
The guys are all, like, their faces are completely covered.
Mm-hmm.
Andrews, when I saw him and he was, like, running really goofy and stuff, I started laughing. He's like, blah, blah, blah. He looked hilarious as his zombie. And you notice.
He just wandered off after.
But he could barely talk.
Well, that's what's so funny when they're in the bar and, like, Mike is. They're yelling at Mike about how he's being a jerk because he has multiple girls there. You just see Andrew
he's
just
flirting
there
with one zombie girl, and then he invites another girl there.
Yeah, and then he's like fighting with Molly, and then asks her out on a date in front of the other girl. The whole time, you just see Andrew sitting there, and he's turning and looking, but his face can't move.
Yeah,
at all.
He's frozen. he's a literal zombie.
About women.
And you notice when the whole time that. Mike is fighting with Molly. Sal keeps up coming up behind him like he's going to bite him, and then he backs away like over and over again. I was waiting for Mike to go, stop it, and punch him or something. That shit was cracking me up, but it was so uncomfortable, especially Sal when he, what did he give her? Flowers and wrote her a poem or something?
Yeah, he put flowers on her bed.
He goes, there may be something over on your bed. She goes, what did you do? He's like, you got to look. So she goes
and
in there.
Her poem in the style of Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. And she thinks it's cute, but also it's like, dude, I'm an adult. And she's like trying to let him down, like maybe could just be friends or whatever. And he goes, hey, we're getting along a lot better. Maybe I could move forward now. It's like she's trying to tell you nothing will ever happen.
Yeah, she's really nice. She's adult. She's somewhat sophisticated, geeky. She has, you know, and he's just so out of his depth that he needs to grow up. He's stunted by about 20 years.
And then when they're at that bar, this comic artist starts talking to her like, hey, maybe you could pose for my drawings. And she's like, oh, okay. Sal's over like, she's talking to that guy over there. So I'm going to pour. And by the way, they made a point to show that he was doing shots and he never drank. So next thing you see, he's like, I just want to tell you, you know, you don't know how attractive you are. You know, you don't think of yourself like that. And like, I really like you. It's just like,
yeah, that's what was driving me crazy is I'm like, wait a second. You're telling her how she thinks this. Yeah, she obviously knows she's attractive. I think she knows her self-worth, Sal. I think it's you that doesn't.
Yeah. He's like, you don't appreciate yourself the way that you should. Like, you're hot. Yeah,
you don't appreciate yourself the way I appreciate you.
Like, you're a sexual object to me, you know? It's like, well, you need to shut up right now.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
Wow.
So let's check this out.
I got, you know, two girls here in the same room. I don't know what to do.
That chick is gorgeous. Wait, don't mess that up.
Wait, Mike.
I don't know who's... Okay.
So you see that chick?
No, sure. I can tell you this.
Did you invite her?
Is it in?
Did you invite her?
Yes.
And before she got here, start really flirting with another girl?
And then ask Molly out on a date.
I'm an idiot.
Okay. So as long as we have that figured out, then you might be okay.
Oh, they're talking to each other. Oh, that's the worst case scenario.
Okay, that's why you need to get in there and stop that.
How do you get in there now?
Mike and Molly just had an intense argument. Not 5 minutes later, Mike is talking to two other girls. You can't be that dumb. You can't be. There's something wrong. Gotta use this head and not this head.
Life sucks, guys.
So wait,
No, life does not suck. But you know what does suck? When you invite a girl to come meet you, and before she arrives, start flirting hardcore with another girl.
I didn't know.
These guys, they know nothing about girls. It's adorable.
I love it. Wow. It's adorable. I thought something was going to happen about Molly when she wanted to go to Comic-Con. No, E3. And she had to pass out flyers, and she just set them on a table.
I thought they were like the team that was actually there would see it or something.
Yeah, they would set them up to get busted. Maybe that'll happen the next episode, or maybe nothing ever happened. I don't know. But that's an
interesting
show.
I can't stand Molly.
Yeah, I went from like the first episode appreciating how she laid it all out about her, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool."
And then it got annoying.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, you know what the funniest thing is when Adrienne Curry was on the show. Remember that? And she was like, "How do you do cosplay? How do you feel about the groping and stuff?" She goes, "Oh, you just get used to it. Don't worry about it." And she's like, "What? No, you have to get all fired up and stuff.
Yes, you have to be angry and complain and make a scene out of it."
She's like, you know, they should have security there or something. I don't know.
Yes, each woman dressed scantily clad, you know, should have at least 3 bodyguards.
She should just have like a lightsaber and whack dudes who try to grab her.
Exactly.
Now, guys, I want to talk about The Walking Dead, The Walking Dead Return. Did you guys all watch it?
Yes.
Yes.
You did? Okay, great. And I want to just say this real quick, because it's been several weeks since the final Breaking Bad aired, Bill, which, incredible show. It's over, and I loved it. Steven, I hope one day you watch it from episode 1 to the final episode. It'll be awesome for us to be able to talk about it. But it's a fantastic show, and I'll always love it. Did you see that stuff about Anthony Hopkins sent a letter of appreciation to Bryan Cranston?
I did, and they were even talking about it on Howard Stern this week. About immediately, I thought it was a hoax. Like, I even told you. In fact, I sent you a message,
the one
and you're like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, I was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about, Bill."
Yeah, so I sent it to you, and I thought it was a hoax. So I was just kind of ignoring it, and then I think Variety or someone confirmed it.
Yeah,
and then I was just thinking, like, "Wow, who?" What classless asshole, you know, released that? And they were talking on Howard, like, who do you think did it? And then somebody said, well, the guy that plays Gomi was the first one to post it on his Facebook page. So I'm thinking maybe Bryan Cranston got it and then thought he would be nice to share it with his castmates, and then...
I think
maybe.
What happened is he kind of at the beginning of the letter he says he sends it. They're part of the same agency, Bryan Cranston and Anthony Hopkins. So he sent it to his agent, I guess, and that's how it got through to him. You never know; his agent might have leaked it, but I don't see what the big deal is because it's very flattering.
It is very flattering, but I guess I kind of take that as kind of like a private thing, like someone putting themselves out there to another person. You know, appreciating something. I just always kind of thought that was sort of a private thing. I don't know.
I'm glad to know.
Something
though.
Felt
I think
off,
it's cool.
But I appreciated it. Like, I liked knowing that Anthony Hopkins thinks that.
I would hope that someone who wouldn't give Breaking Bad a chance might go, okay, I'll finally watch it. It's all on Netflix anyway.
Well, I love Hannibal Lecter, so I'll watch it.
Every episode except the final 8 are on Netflix, so you could totally... Binge watch all of it and then find those final 8 episodes, Bill.
Well, the final 8 are on Amazon and on iTunes.
Yeah. That's the way Anthony Hopkins watched it, he said.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so funny. I used Netflix with fava beans.
And can't.
That's a dated reference, Jason.
It's not that dated. It's a film reference.
Cock. Balls.
All right, I want to talk about The Walking Dead.
Okay.
The Walking Dead is back. It has a new showrunner. What they do is they kill off every showrunner at the end of the season, much like they kill off somebody from the cast. And I want to say something about this. Like, it's not fair to compare Walking Dead to, say, Breaking Bad. They happen to be on the same channel, right?
Right.
But when you have a scene where... I really like the zombie killing action and stuff, but we probably talked about it before. The writing is not great on The Walking Dead.
Not great is kind.
Okay, they have a guy. They established he was a medic, right, Steven? The new black character. Where they go to this Walmart type of place or whatever. And he picks up a thing of liquor. He kind of like shows hesitation and he wants to put it back. I was like,
I really want to drink that booze.
The writers are showing us that he has a drinking problem, Steven. Mm-hmm. That's some. But also this, they introduce Beaver from Veronica Mars is now hanging out with Beth, the, you know, the blonde girl, and dating her, whatever they do there in the prison. She seems kind of aloof, like, so you're going? Okay, whatever. And he goes, aren't you going to say bye? She goes, no. So I automatically know she's distanced herself from him. You can tell from that one scene.
Yeah.
Did they need that scene later on where he's like, so-and-so, you know,
but Beaver? But they've got to create tension.
Beaver from Veronica Mars, you know, he didn't make it. She's like, okay. It's like,
all right.
Don't you want to talk about it or anything? Nah, good, whatever. It's like, we already knew that scene was going to happen later on. When we saw that first scene, I knew he was
pretty well.
I knew he was doomed, and I knew that later on. But then there's also, okay. There's the scene where I don't want to skip around everywhere, so let's go to Rick. Okay, Rick, he apparently goes and sets snares for animals, and he doesn't take his gun anymore. What?
Yes, because I guess he doesn't want to kill anything, or he's just a massive dingbat.
Yeah, what?
Like, it just makes no sense.
Where the doesn't want to kill thing anymore? Okay. And this is why this storyline happened, and I know why.
And he's a gardener. He creates things now.
Right. They even show the part. Okay, Bill. He's plowing. He finds a gun in the soil.
Oh, someone was trying to grow a gun tree.
He looks at the walker, and he tosses the gun aside. He no longer needs these weapons. He's like that samurai who sits down.
He's risen above the gun.
Right. And I'm like, okay, show. Dun, dun, dun. Knock on. McFly, are you getting this message? You know? Okay, I get that. I know I'm being hard on the show, but it's been a while.
No, but you're not being hard on the show. That's the main problem with The Walking Dead, is that people give it too much leeway.
Yes, we do. And the entire strange woman in the woods.
Yeah.
That was all. Rick was insane last season. This is going to show him I was almost her. And by the end of the episode, I know that, thank God I didn't get as far as her, but now I'm okay. Didn't you think that's what it was?
That's what they were going for?
They fixed Rick in that one episode. Didn't you feel like that's what they were doing?
Yeah. That totally didn't register me at all, because it wasn't at all freaking subtle.
Yeah, it wasn't just subtle at all.
And then everyone talks about, like, oh, what about the head in the bag? Oh, my gosh.
No, it's like... But also, at first I thought it might have been a baby, and that would have been really effed up. I'm glad it wasn't. But I thought, you know, nothing against the actress. It was a good performance, and it was sad and, you know, really sad or whatever. But that whole – I cannot believe that he would ever leave without a gun. Come on. He's not going to do that, okay? I don't understand why they have to have this tension all the time in the prison. Like, now something else. There's, like, some people have speculated it's a virus. I know exactly what's harming the kid, the voice of Phineas from Phineas and Ferb with the glasses. He was poisoned. I don't believe he has any kind of disease. Some people are like, I think a new virus is going around now.
Water.
I think that he was poisoned, don't you?
Probably.
There's some sicko, like, remember the black dude from last season who was hiding in the prison and causing havoc?
Yeah. You know it's the medic.
Aren't they repeating storylines? That's what I'm thinking
it's the black medic.
In the comic book, there were storylines that Bill, you and I have talked about where we think were completely just moronic. And we hope that they didn't do. And every time we'd bring it up, they would do it on the show. Mm-hmm. And it would always turn out not to be as bad as the comic book. Like the whole phone thing. Okay,
lasted how many issues? Jesus.
But in the comic book, it lasted one episode and he's fine. But, okay, I want to get to the Walmart part, okay? I'm just going to play this clip first and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, I'll let you play it first.
Okay. First of all, when... we all love
Walmart.
No, yes, we all love Walmart. But let me just play this clip and I'll tell you about it.
Army came in, put these fences up, made it a place for the people to go.
Last week when we spotted this place, there's a bunch of walkers behind this chain link, keeping people out like a bunch of guard dogs.
A lot of exposition there.
So they all just left?
Give a listen.
You drew them out.
Put a boombox out there 3 days ago.
Hooked it up to 2 car batteries.
All right, let's make a sweep. Make sure it's safe. Grab what you can.
So
we'll come back tomorrow
with
more people.
Happened, okay? Here.
Just give it a second.
Okay, I think I got it.
Got what?
Oh, I've been trying to guess what Daryl did before the turn. I was trying to guess for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm pacing myself. One shot a day.
I think he got this idea from Saving Private Ryan.
Well, the way you are at the prison. Yeah, you're being on the council, you're able to track, you're helping people, but you're still being kind of, surly. Big swinger. Homicide cop.
So funny.
Nothing. It makes perfect sense.
Actually, the man's right. Undercover.
Come on, really?
Yep. I mean, I don't like to talk about it because it's a lot of heavy shit, you know?
Dude, come on, really? Okay. I'll just keep guessing, I guess.
Yeah, you keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna do this, detective?
Let's do it.
Now, I'll tell you, scenes like that, I enjoy. I like the kind of banter, and then they go scavenging for stuff. I could watch a show like that every week, but they have to go and ruin it by, like, remember the guy in the prison who got killed? He got shot in the head just when he's becoming interesting. I'm not going to say this guy, Beaver from Veronica Mars, was anything great, but he was having a conversation there with a character we all know and love, and it was kind of amusing. But they go and they off the dude, like, right away. And it was the same way anyone dies on these shows where they're standing facing the wrong way and a thing grabs them by the ankle. Like, oh, you know.
Oh, because it's so frightening and disarming. Oh.
It's like, keep looking around. You know, you're just like, duh, what are we doing? But I got to say this. Okay, the whole walkers falling from the roof. I was watching it, Bill, I just wanted to say this. I thought it was moronic.
I hated it. I thought it was the dumbest freaking thing I've ever seen on a television show because these holes in, you know, these weak spots in the roof of this place, they have been weak for a long time. So I guess these walkers aren't walking around. They're just standing on the roof because then, you know, why all of a sudden they're falling through the roof because they're walking? It was so
not
dumb.
Not only that, Bill, that they made sure to show us a crashed helicopter on the roof,
yes.
Which had weakened the roof. Uh-huh. Why wouldn't a helicopter crash through the roof of a Walmart?
I would have to think so,
Not only that, they already established that walkers are attracted to sound. They already told us there was a boombox that attracted all of them away. The ones on the roof could hear it too, couldn't they? They would be walking off the edge and falling
Maybe they
off.
Just had discerning taste.
They're like, meh, heard it before.
I'll just stand here because if I walk anywhere, I'll fall through the roof.
Now, I enjoy...
I prefer classical.
I enjoy zombie killing. Like, killing them left and right, that's fine. I just thought the whole setup was ridiculous. It felt like, okay, guys, we got to do something crazy and fantastic for this first episode.
Exactly.
Let's have him falling from the ceiling. I didn't mind the one kind of hanging from his entrails, like his intestines. That was kind of cool.
Marionette puppet style.
But the fact that they keep showing another one walking into soft spot, oh, I'm going to, you know, it was just silly.
Yeah. And then, oh, look, that one fell on his head. Oh, look at that one. It was freaking whack-a-mole for zombies.
The one that fell on its head and just splattered and was instantly dead. Stuff like that. Funny. I thought that was funny. The guy pinned under a shelf, hate shit like that.
I just wanted a drink.
I had a drinking problem. This is good Lord telling me that I did wrong.
I just don't understand why people forgive the show for being as stupid as it is.
My main complaint is they don't need to do these things.
No.
They don't. I mean, I know the show can't be the same thing every week, but there's things like that where I'm like, oh, come on. And then
but what happened to character?
I know. They don't know how to build character on the show, really.
And the characters are so damn schizophrenic. I mean, you're talking about how Rick, you know, each season Rick's something different.
The reason we all love Daryl is because that actor brought something to the role that we could like. You know, that's why we like him. They even have, Carl. They have this annoying scene with the little kids where they're like naming the walkers. And he's like, what are you guys doing? You don't name them. They're not people. And the kid's like, yeah, they are. They used to be or something. And he's like, shut the hell up. And he's like, you kids are stupid.
He should have pistol whipped them, little brats. But I have a name for my gun. It's shut up.
But I want to ask you this. The part where Carol, like the guy leaves and she goes, okay, I'm going to show you the knives. Why would anyone have a problem with her doing that?
Yeah,
under
exactly.
Adult supervision.
It's a new world that they live in. It seems like the sort of thing Rick would have done in the first season.
Yeah, but now he doesn't even carry a gun anymore. Because why? Why doesn't he carry a gun? Here, I'll tell you why. Because the writers made that the rule for this episode.
He's a zombie pacifist now.
Right, until the end of the episode. Pacifist. But that's the thing. That's what bothers me about writing. You build character arcs. You don't make it where, like, okay, now, for this first episode, Rick doesn't like guns anymore. And you're, like, sitting in the writer's room and going, wait, why doesn't he?
Why, yeah.
No,
who
because,
is in the writing room not asking these questions?
Because last season, you guys, remember the governor? He shot all of his people. Rick doesn't want to be like that. But Rick wasn't there when he did it. No, he heard it from that chick. And that was enough to affect him. And I know why he did. Remember, the whole thing is, when Herschel said, your son dropped that boy, he warned him, and he just shot that boy in cold blood. But we all were there. We saw it. He didn't shoot the boy in cold blood. The kid wasn't dropping his gun like he told him to. So I think Herschel exaggerated there. But for Rick to take all that information and go, okay, no more gun for me, is just stupid. Because there's Walking Dead everywhere. I don't care if I don't like firearms, which I don't. I don't own a gun. If there's Walking Dead, I'm going to have a gun on me, even if I don't like firearms, okay?
No, I'm going to have like a 5-inch knife that I wear on my boot.
Well, you need
that'll protect
me. Silent weapon, and you need the distance weapon.
Right. But, of course, you know, I'll keep watching the show, but this show has always been where I've never seen the perfect episode of Walking Dead. No. There's been some that have come close. Remember the one with the black dude, and he's got all the traps? That was an interesting episode.
That was very well done.
The very first episode of the series, the one Frank Darabont did, I really liked that first episode. There's been episodes where there's been cool stuff that's happened, but the episodes entirely haven't been perfect. Right?
Right.
And
right.
I know it's hard to do perfect episodes, but still, there's always something that goes,
a little cringeworthy.
Like, we don't have Andrea anymore to be pissed about when they cut to her. So
I think the biggest problem with The Walking Dead is it treats its viewers like zombies. It honestly thinks that its viewers are dummies and that they will just go along with whatever it is that they feel they need to do, and they need to lead us through the most obvious character flaws, and it's really irritating.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to tell you what I did like about the episode. I liked all of the walkers coming up to the fence in droves, and they have to go out there and kill them every day.
Yeah, they have to clear the fence.
That was cool, and the shots of them all walking, and it's like, holy shit, how many of those are there? I would stand out there all day until they were gone. I wouldn't, like, give up, you know?
Well, the stupid thing that one dude said, I don't like doing it this way. I want to go out and kill them on, one-on-one. It's like, no, this is safe.
Yeah, exactly. You were going to... You know, it's kind of, you got to kind of think of it like leading cattle to slaughter. What, you're going to go in the field and run after the cow to kill it?
Does he think
when it's
cool
just coming to you?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. But another thing, okay, this is how I would have set up the episode if I was running the show. I want to show how great they're doing. I would have set up this how everything's, they've got food, they've got security, and they start to get a little lazy because they're feeling comfortable, right, Bill?
Yes. They're,
like, everything's kind of copacetic. They go out to that store. They load up on supplies. No deaths or anything.
How shocking is it that store is still packed with things?
Yeah, they said that there was, like, the army there. They would have ransacked that place, wouldn't
they? Exactly. That place would have been empty if the army was there.
And plus, wouldn't the army have seen the helicopter up there? I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, it was just like... that whole scene, it just felt out of place because it was, let's do something cool. But I do like scenes where the characters stand around and talk about, they just goof around. Like, this is the zombie apocalypse or whatever. Have people interacting about that. Like, I liked Michonne bringing comic books to Carl. Like, yeah. I would scavenge for entertainment, you know, when I could.
Hey, I would always look for comic books for Ellie in The Last of Us.
Yeah. So while I say I'm entertained by some things in the show, I think it could be way better. I always do.
And it always could have been. And it's just, you know...
I always felt that way about the comic,
too. It's very much
Bill.
Like the comic. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It starts off really promising and then just gets lost in this absurd minutia.
And I understand what this mystery at the prison, who killed that boy... You know, by the way, Carl had a new interesting friend, and they kill him off in the first episode. Kind of this nerdy guy. And, you know, I even talked about it on Facebook. I hate how every season, like, they interview Scott Gimple or Robert Kurtzman or some actor from the show. They go, no one is safe, you guys. You got to be prepared for that. It's like, shut the hell up. Okay? How about this? Why don't you try harder to make us care who dies on the show, you know?
Yeah, but then... Chris Hardwick wouldn't be able to use that statement and question over and over again.
Which one is that?
No one is safe.
No one is safe.
Oh, yeah. Is there a more pointless show than The Talking Dead? Seriously.
I don't watch it. I haven't watched it in a very long time.
But Bill,
I think the last one I watched was after T-Boz.
T-Dog.
I know. That guy got it. Okay. Yeah, that was the last one I watched.
Well, on this most recent episode, they had Nathan Fillion on there, and he would, you know, you try to...
Why?
Because they're fans of the show. So he goes, Nathan, what do you think about that new character, the medic guy? And he goes, well, I think they were trying to tell us that he might have a problem with alcohol. And so, yes, that's very interesting. I did catch that. It's like, everyone caught it! What do you guys think about Beth? Why did she act so cold about her boyfriend dying? Because the writers made it that way.
Because death is a part of this world. Everybody
and you got to get used to it. I did like when she said, I was happy to get to know him. You know,
yeah, she's mature.
So the way this episode ended was the nerdy kid goes to take a shower while he's dying. I didn't understand that part, but he had to go somewhere.
Maybe he's feverish.
Yeah,
he wanted to wash it away.
I'm so effing hot right now, dude. So he
take a cold shower.
He drops dead and he turns, so now he's in the prison with them. And I would tell you this, if I slept in that prison, I'd close the cell door every night when I went to sleep. Because I would feel safe that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
So we'll see what happens there, but the fact that they have to add an extra threat in the prison is just silly to me.
What I thought was funny is on Facebook, a lot of people that watch the show, and it kind of explains... the mindset of the people that watch it, they're like, there's something in the water that's turning them into zombies. And I was like, wait,
it's not.
How did you go from A to Z already? Like, how did you, you know,
it doesn't
make
turn
that
you
leap?
Into zombies. If you die, you just turn.
Yeah. That's what I was trying. I didn't even want to get into that argument on Facebook. I was just like, okay, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Could it be possible Carl is slowly poisoning everyone? He's killing them. He's a little
psychotic little shitbag.
He's a little serial killer. Like, he's like, Dad, that pig is sick. I wonder why.
I don't want that pig to become a zombie.
That scene where Rick seems genuinely saddened by the pig dying.
Aww.
He's like, I was going to have pork chops later. Damn it.
No, I can't eat.
I need some bacon.
Thank God there's piglets.
Pork belly. Oh, man.
Watch it, Hardware.
Easter ham.
His piggy's getting pissed there.
Go along with this or I'll cut you in half.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Now, is that pig, when it turns, is it going to, like, try to eat other pigs?
How great would it have been if it was like, and it's like, oh, and Rick's like, I don't have a gun anymore. I'm a pacifist. And then it rips
but it doesn't,
out.
But it won't attack humans because it only wants pig brains.
Pig brains.
Pig brains.
Pigs
it talks.
Space.
Oh, my God.
Man. Okay. Well, that was Walking Dead. Well, let's watch it again this
That's
week.
That's going to be the next sci-fi movie, Zombie Pig.
By the way, Bill, highest ratings ever. 16 million people watched it. Pretty
good
awesome.
For AMC.
I'm waiting for other channels to go, we need a zombie show. Aren't you waiting for that?
It will. It'll happen.
We got to get a zombie show, guys. Come on. We'll do Zombieland on Amazon. Oops. That didn't work.
Dude, come on. Really?
All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Woohoo! Let's do the news. Why now?
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely not. It's been good seeing you guys. It looks like you're doing great.
Oh, okay. Can't ask any questions. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
We have some sad news here. It turns out that Shooter McGavin, Christopher McDonald, he was Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
He was busted earlier this morning for a DWI.
Oh, no.
Yes, a 58-year-old actor was popped by North Carolina Highway Patrol deputies in Wilmington, cuffed and taken to jail around 4:30 a.m. Shooter's blood alcohol level was 0.15, double the legal limit.
Wow.
Yep.
They suck!
Before the arrest, he was drinking beers with a few guys at a bar and took a bunch of pictures with people, so... Yeah, he just shouldn't have gotten that car.
I wanna kiss you all over.
Each guy's like, wait, what? Well, shit. You eat shit for breakfast. What was it? What was his line?
You eat shit for breakfast? No.
No. All right, and I have to bring this up.
Shooter.
Price is Right has had its second biggest winner ever.
I was watching that day.
Were you? Was that the day you were at the dealership?
Yeah. No. Was it?
No.
I don't. I was just sad.
I just remember you saying you were watching Wayne Brady.
I have it on CBS right behind me. While,
that's
I'm at
because
the
your soap opera stories are on after that, right?
Well, also, on Price is Right, they have hot models on there, Steven.
That's true.
Yeah.
I remember when I was home from school. That's why I watched it. Not for Bob Barker.
You're gonna get so much ass here. It's gonna be sick.
I'd have my fingers crossed, going, show hot tub, show hot tub, show hot tub.
Oh, she's in a bikini. It's a one piece, but still.
Yeah, it's a one piece. She looks like a sausage in a casing, but oh, she's a hot sausage.
That's what they should be.
All right, so a woman named Cassidy Schultz, went nuts after winning a big prize worth
$140,236. Whoa.
Yeah.
Sort that shit out.
I'm trying to get past all the bullshit. I don't want to read about that. So during the showcase showdown... Schultz nailed her bid, guessing 37,000, even though Carrie looked incredulous. When he read the value of the showcase, which included a BMW, it ended up being 37,374. So she got within that.
That's awesome.
The 1,000 there.
I'm going to go on a game show, and then when you're going to catch it, go, cash option, please.
Yeah.
You don't want any of the stuff? No, just
no,
cash.
No, not really.
I'll take it. I don't need
the tax out of it.
I don't need a freaking speedboat, okay?
Yeah, I don't want the boat. I really don't want to pay the insurance and tax on that car.
I don't want a golf cart. I don't want a wine rack or any of this other shit.
Yeah, I really don't need a dining room set.
I do want the hot tub, though. Do the models come with it?
Yeah.
Come on, really?
Sorry.
Sci-Fi has set dates for, well, two new movies, which sound really fantastic.
Awesome.
The first one is called Beast of the Bering Sea.
I love this story.
And it's about a brother and sister team prospecting for gold in an underwater cave who accidentally disturb a colony of blood-sucking amphibious predators, a.k.a. sea vampires.
Oh my god!
Who can... Yeah, who can function on land without having to wait for some freakish weather system to wreak havoc on the area.
Yep.
And who's playing the brother of the brother-sister team but Jonathan Lipnicki.
Oh, hell yeah! Woohoo! All
did
right.
You know your head weighs as much as whatever the hell it does?
Did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds?
Shut up, kid!
Well, that's cool. I'm glad the little shit's getting work.
Yeah.
Did you know bees and dogs can smell fear?
Kiss my ass. Alright, the next film this one is important because it also involves a tornado, but it's a tornado of stones. A stone NATO.
Okay.
Come on, really?
A stone NATO?
Yeah. It's a freak weather system that causes the hurling of deadly boulders.
They can say, fuck, shit, bitch, whatever you want.
I don't know how they're going to defeat
rocks. Hold a trash can lid up? I don't know. Go inside your house?
This one doesn't really have any stars in it, so I guess they couldn't convince anyone to star in Stone NATO.
So what's the bad news?
He'll be back for it.
Well, he'll be back for Shark NATO.
Don't you mean Ian Ziering, Steven?
No, it's Ian.
You can't be that dumb.
Hey.
Speaking of dumb, Nevada County, California's deputies call this one of the easiest drug busts they've done in a while. Text autocorrect can cause laughter, but odds are Jesse Mulligan isn't after deputies say she hit send on one of the worst texts of her life. You just never know who the media age now. With the media age now, you just never know who are texting. Mulligan tried to text a friend Friday to say she had some drugs to sell, but she ended up talking to a deputy.
Oh,
that's kind of interesting.
After a few texts back and forth about the drugs, detectives say they arranged for a place to meet. They met her to deliver the goods. When she arrived, deputies arrested her. She was so surprised, she probably felt a little bit silly that she'd contacted law enforcement.
You're going to call the police on me?
Yeah, that happens when you text 911.
What a dumb...
That's just fate, just trying to weed out stupid people, honestly. You know, she probably missed, like, one number on a phone number or something, and she ended up texting the police.
She's not very smart.
I got some drugs.
You can't be that dumb.
You want some drugs?
Cop like, why? Yes, I would. Where can
yes,
I meet you?
Yes, that sounds mighty fantastic.
I really like the drugs. Please contact me further.
Please share with me what drugs you have.
You will all begin to whip your cream.
Excuse me?
There was an article on this radio.com site that ranks all the Grand Theft Audio 5 radio stations.
Oh, sweet!
But it's just goes on and on and on, and I'm
it's
just
like
not
too much minutia.
Yeah, there's like 17 radio stations, and you've got this guy like criticizing worst songs and best songs, and it's just
oh, shit. I listen to the Kenny Loggins one a lot.
Yeah, same here.
Kenny
That's
Loggins
about the only one
the
I
game.
Listen to, and I turn it off a lot of times because I'm sick of hearing Hollywood Nights. And
what is that song?
Oh, Baker Street.
Yeah, Baker Street is on every time I turn into that station.
The one for me is that everything she said.
Yeah. It's a simple mind. And then I'll listen to the talk station, and every once in a while I'll be playing the game and drive it around, and I go, wait, what did that guy just say? It's funny. There's always some funny on there.
Yeah, there's one, I think it's called Chakra Attack, and I think it's that JB Smoove
he's
that hosts it. And it's pretty funny.
He's a funny dude.
The other night I had a moment where it was like, oh, okay, it's Kenny Loggins did the intro to something. He was like, ride the waves on our ship. Wait, no, a yacht of rock. And I was like, ah, and then he started playing What a Fool Believes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that was pretty fantastic.
I guess I do like yacht rock. Oh my God. And I love when you do something in the game and then later on you hear the news bust in and they talk about
that's why I turn on the radio to hear that weasel news.
Yeah, and they say something that you were involved in. I love that.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
Now I want to punch myself in the head.
Yeah, but I listen to the rock radio and every once in a while I'll put it on that nonstop pop. Because even though they have a lot of shit, they also have a lot of, like, UK 80s pop.
I like whenever you, Franklin, it's always on a rap station.
Yeah. I can't, you know, and I try listen to it sometime, and I'm like, what in the hell are they saying? I don't
really
understand why anyone likes this.
It's awesome.
Oh, and I'll sometimes listen to the,
Step Four!
Because when I jack a car's Trevor, the Alamo Sea, it's always on the country station. All right, now this next story is from Gamma Squad. Alfonso Cuarón fielded a question at a Mexico City press conference yesterday from a reporter, and here's the question. Was it very difficult, very complicated to film in space? Did the camera operators get sick? And Cuarón didn't miss a beat. He went, well, yeah, we took some cameras there aboard the Soyuz, and we were in space for 3.5 months. I got really sick during training.
No muy saludable.
Yeah, but I love that. I mean, some people actually, I mean, it's that
just
believable.
It is. I figured it was in space. Okay, Foggy, that's a long drop. But honestly, the effects are flawless, but that's funny that someone asked that. And I like that he just goes along with it.
Oh, yeah. I got really sick.
Really?
Really?
Here's something odd.
All right, here's a new show for us to cover.
Ooh. That's me rubbing my hands.
I can't even believe they're going here. And they've done everything on the rescue sort of shows. Save My Kitchen, Save My Restaurant, Save Everything, Send Willie Deagle in. Now it's time for Church Rescue.
Huh?
Yes, religious institutions are the foundation of many communities. The United States has more than 300,000 religious congregations. Nearly 4 out of 5 Americans identify themselves as some type of religious belief. So, with banks foreclosing on churches in record numbers, leading to tough consequences for communities, struggling congregations and families.
That. Lord have mercy.
Soon won't have places to flock to when times get tough. Enter the church hoppers.
Oh, Lord Jesus Almighty.
Three business-savvy ministers and best friends who travel the country helping faith-based organizations reestablish themselves in the marketplace.
Wait, I think I might have seen a commercial for this. Are these guys, like, wearing a lot of bling?
I don't know, but it's on the Nat Geo channel.
Oh, okay. I've seen some commercial where there's these, they're all evangelist-type guys, and they drive Ferraris and shit, and they've
well,
got, like,
I can
gold.
Believe that, because they all have nicknames. Rev Kev, Gladimir, Doc. So yeah, I'm sure that they're assholes.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. I might have to watch this just to laugh at it.
Wow. And I try to point out to you that Rocco DiSpirito has a new show.
Yes, he does. I can't wait. It's on the Who Gives a Shit channel.
Rocco.
Is that the one they split the restaurant in half?
Very nice.
It's where he throws his mama's meatballs.
It's called Split Kitchen, or it's something to do with...
Yeah, they split the restaurant in half.
Yeah.
One side of the family runs it the way they want.
Yeah, and they, like, if a family
whoever
disagrees with what they want the restaurant to be, he's like, hey, let's see which one works better.
Mayonnaise for chicken. Mayonnaise. That is not Italian food.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it is not.
Arguments like that, Bill.
Excellent.
Can't wait.
And that's the news for this week.
What? You know, seriously, like, are you for real?
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news this week. How about we do some DVDs?
Yes, and while you do that, I'll be right back.
All right.
This is huge.
Wait, Bill, where are you going?
I gotta pee!
Bill!
No.
No. Bill. Oh, wow.
I have to pee so bad.
All right, I'm starting
to... Can you hear Muppet for me?
I'm starting to have to pee, Steven. Steven, have you watched The Blacklist?
Yes, I do love this show. It's awesome.
I think it's good. Did you watch the last one where the guy from Manhunter was
yeah.
on there? Dude, is he creepy or what?
And he's all shaved down, no hair.
And he's like, oh, got all these gross scars on him.
Scars.
That was pretty creepy. We were talking about The Blacklist. Have you watched that yet?
No, but I watched Sleepy Hollow, the first four episodes.
Oh, great.
And I'm totally digging it. I'm totally digging it. Like, the last episode I watched was the guy that was like the Indian demon lying spirit, like that if you abandon someone, this spirit will come after you or something.
Yeah, that was two episodes ago.
The Sandman
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, that guy was a little creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it's doing a really good job at creating an atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the thing I admire the most about it, is that it creates this genuine unease, and that the design is really cool, and I'm just really digging it. Like, I take that back. I'm sorry. The last episode I watched was the one with the Hessians.
Yeah, yeah.
With the sister.
That creepy fountain where all the demons are coming up.
Yeah. I mean, the show, it's really kind of taking Fringe's place for me in the...
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Did you see the latest news?
Yes.
John Noble is on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, John... Yeah, they've cast John Noble to be a recurring character on the show. I don't know how often he's going to be on there, but he's going to be a recurring character.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that on... Totally.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it, honestly. It's... The guy that plays Ichabod is fantastic. The girl that he works with has really good character. She's a good actor.
It's cool.
The only one I'm not quite sure what they're doing with Orlando Jones. You know, they're very vague.
Jones.
I was trying to make a bologna sandwich.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
I like when Ichabod like freaks out like over the tax, like, oh my god, we went to war over less tax than this. And
yeah, I love that he was like, this breakfast cost $4.75 plus tax.
Yeah. And also, you know, in the earlier episode he fired the gun once and then threw it down. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, I was done, I fired it. It's like there's a clip with more bullets in it.
Yeah, I never would have thought the fish out of water thing would, like, you would think that that would become grating, but they do it in such a genuine, funny way that it works.
Also,
I did make a funny of him being, you know, wearing his old attire.
Yeah. I'm wondering when they'll address that, if they'll ever put him in modern-day clothes.
Yeah, I like that where he washed his clothes and used the hair dryer to dry them.
Yeah.
There's just these little touches that I'm really enjoying about it. I'm sort of shocked, and there's so much more to it. Like, you have the priest that was like the protector of the head, and he has some sort of, I don't know what he was. He was throwing the chains around and everything. Like, there's a certain depth to it that I really like.
Yeah, they established that there was good witches and bad witches.
Yeah, yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And then he's been around there for how long?
I know,
because he was in that. He was there whenever Ichabod was. Yeah. I guess passing away.
And I think that's cool how they work in, like, George Washington knew about it and stuff. Yeah. Like, it was really a war of good against evil, you know?
I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. When they, that kind of revisionist history that mixes kind of the supernatural to it. I think that's sort of why I loved Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Well, like, I like that. You know, I was bummed that Clancy Brown dies in the first episode, but they found a way to keep him in there.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm watching it, and I message you, hey, Clancy Brown's in this. Oh, Clancy Brown was in this.
Heather, like, I mean, Laura did the same thing. She was like, I'm watching Sleepy Hollow. Oh, cool. I didn't know Clancy Brown was in this. And then, like, a few minutes later, oh, Clancy Brown died. She's like, that's a bummer. And I'm like, yeah, they find a way to keep him in there, you know.
Yeah. I'm really impressed with it. And I'm shocked that Len Wiseman is involved with it.
Yeah, because he directed the pilot.
And even his directed episode, his pilot, was really well done. I think maybe he's found his calling, television.
Right. I mean, I think the problem, I mean, I don't think that he is like Uwe Boll bad. The problem is he doesn't seem to do anything original, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, exactly.
It's derivative director.
He's uninspired.
But, you know, bring those kind of action-type shots to a TV show, you make it look more fancy, you know?
Yeah, and if you have decent writing and good acting.
And plus, that show has made me jump a few times.
Yeah, oh, I'm terrified of Moloch.
Yeah, that shit
demon in the mirror.
You know, he's like, and broke it. I was like,
yeah, and I was like, oh, John Cho's in this. Oh, he's not. Oh, wait, yes, he's back. And he's got the wrinkly neck thing.
His neck goes and flies backwards. That was
great. The episode where he had to go around kind of like John Connor and be like, what is your name?
Oh, I know. And he asks the little boy and he goes, good. And then you're like, oh, shit, this sucks. This is horrible. And then you see that he's adopted. That kid is so lucky.
He ashes.
Was that kid totally lucky or what?
Yeah. I'm just really impressed by the show. I'm enjoying it. I have one more episode to watch. I think I watched four.
All we need a show to be is entertaining and a little batshit crazy.
Yeah,
all right?
That's all I'm asking.
And that works, man.
Yep.
Good stuff.
And I love the story, the overarching story that they're trying to tell. You know, Ichabod's wife is locked away in the world between worlds. That there's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I love that they did that with the headless horsemen.
We haven't even seen the headless horsemen since the pilot episode.
Yeah, that, you know, the headless horseman is death. He's, you know, I love that. And then they showed the other three horsemen. And I just love the design of them. I think that's fantastic.
They put a lot of work into it.
They did. And it's getting... There's some people that are really kind of stupid. There's this guy on Wired that his whole thing is he's an angry nerd and he criticizes everything. And I only got through about like 3 minutes of the video before I just had to turn it off, where he's just criticizing everything about Sleepy Hollow. Like, it seems like the new thing is, let's take some classic, wonderful story like Sleepy Hollow with Ichabod Crane, who's just this loser, and turn him into this suave British guy and move it all into the future, and it's this crazy show. It's just like, dude, you got nothing. What are you complaining about? It's a fun show.
I don't know who that actor is, but he's great.
Yeah, he is.
It always sounds like he's calling her Lieutenant. Lieutenant?
Yes, Lieutenant.
It's like, is he saying Lieutenant? Lieutenant?
Yep.
But anyway, I love it.
Watch it, Hardware.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some DVDs?
Yeah, let's do them.
Let's do it! Whee! What the hell was that?
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs, everybody!
Cock, balls.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
I just wanted to mention, people should, if they're at all interested in those releases that Shout Factory and Scream Factory are doing, it seems like this month, every day, they're putting one up. Like, I think it's like a 30 days of Halloween sort of thing, mm-hmm. where they're putting up one of their Scream Factory things, or sometimes two, on their site for sale. And this week I picked up almost all the releases for half price. Like the other day I bought that Cue the Winged Serpent for $12, and They Live for like $11 and all that.
Wow.
It's been really cool. So follow them on Twitter or Instagram, and keep an eye out on their sales.
Sweet.
All right. We are going with Blu-rays. Should we just go into this week, or maybe talk about what has come out?
Yeah,
because last week,
some cool releases. Go ahead and cover them.
Last week we had Pacific Rim 3D.
Which, awesome. I picked that up.
And be careful when you go to the store to buy it. They all have that, what is that called? Is it lenticular, where you move it and it kind of looks 3D, and there's different kind of things to it. Like, it's that you know, as you move it back and forth in your hand, it shows one thing or another thing.
Well, that's cool. I want that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they all have that on them. So, like, the 3D version, it's normally the 3D version has that, where it kind of looks...
Right.
But all of them have that. So the 3D version is actually, it has the full Gypsy Danger on the cover with like a whole scene going on behind it, and it doesn't move with it. Because I picked up the normal one first and then had to take it back because as I'm checking out, I realized it didn't say Blu-ray 3D on it. So be careful.
That was a fun movie, and I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah. And also I picked up The Heat. Because, yes, you know, it's the Sandra Bullock comedy with the girl from Mike and Molly.
Okay, Paul Feig did it.
Yes.
He's the guy who did Freaks and Geeks. The guy's funny.
And he also wrote Freaks and Geeks with a couple of the MST3K guys.
That's right.
You know, J. Elvis Weinstein, Trace Beaulieu, and Joel Hodgson, who all three were actually in the show as different characters at times.
Yeah.
I know Trace was a teacher. Joel had a couple different characters, his most notable one being the Disco King.
Yeah.
I think J. Elvis might have just been a writer, but they did a commentary track for The Heat with Paul Feig. And it's on there as, I think there's so many extras on this Blu-ray. It's like, wow, that's what it used to be to buy a DVD. Or,
wow. I thought, you know, it's just loaded. Did they do an MST-type sound, track on it?
Yeah, it basically says on the back of it, Mystery Science Theater 3000 commentary track with Paul Feig.
That's cool.
Yeah, so...
Have you listened to it yet?
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
That's cool. And Cinematic Titanic, they recently ended it, right?
Yeah, I think they're doing their final touring now.
Which I think is so lame. They should keep going on forever.
There's got to be something going on. I know that Joel is continuing a thing where he's doing a tour called Riffing Myself, where it's like kind of a stand-up kind of audience interaction thing where he talks about the history of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really, really looking for – I hope he comes around. Like if he ends up down there, I will bite the bullet and buy a plane ticket to come down there so we could all go see it.
That would be cool. The problem is what the Riff Trax guys are doing, I wish he would do that.
Yeah, same here. I wish they would just continue with the Cinematic Titanic. They don't have to do the touring, but I guess they just want to go in their own different direction. I know Frank is now in New York writing for some god-awful TV show, and I know Trace is doing something with Gruber, that guy that played the counselor on Freaks and Geeks. Dave Allen, I think, is his name, but they call him Gruber.
He was just on Conan last night.
Yeah, he was Pope Gruber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, I love that guy.
Why can't they just get together like every once in a while and do a riff?
I don't know. It bothers the hell out of me, and there hasn't been a new release in ages. I remember there was a whole year that they didn't release anything.
Well, also, Joel needs to say this. Hey, we have a business model here that works. Who wants to move to the same place I live, and let's make a go at this? We could do this for make a lot of money and have a lot of fun doing it, you know? People will pay for this shit.
But they don't even have to do the writing all in one spot, you know? Because I know that with Riff Trax, Mike Nelson is in San Diego with writers. And Kevin Murphy and Bill Corbett still live in Minnesota. And they fly in and do the Riff Trax stuff.
Yeah,
like once a month or so.
And then they do the broadcast live thing that goes at all the theaters.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe Joel, he's never been that. He's not one of those guys who cares about money type of people.
I think that's exactly
which,
it.
Which, that's fine. But I wonder, like, maybe he got the riffing out of his system and he doesn't want to do it anymore. I don't know.
No, I think he still wants to do it. I honestly can't explain it.
But it's like the other people, they're like, you know, I got this project I'm working on. It's like, I don't give a shit about your project.
Yeah, I just want you riffing, please.
I want you riffing movie. I don't care about your little play or whatever you're doing, you know?
Yeah, riff at all times. Thank you.
You're going to get so much ass here, it's going to be sick.
All right, so I think it was the week of October 8th, we had After Earth released on Blu-ray.
After Earth.
Yeah, After Earth, the Will Smith, Jaden Smith, M. Night Shyamalan movie that I actually really enjoyed.
Will you be purchasing that?
I already purchased it. Yeah, I already bought it. I bought it the Tuesday it came out. I haven't watched it yet, but I own it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yep.
Is it in 3D, by the way? I can't remember.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Come on, really?
Nope, not in 3D. I'm just going through this list real quick here, just seeing what else came out.
Go along with this, or I'll cut you in half.
Much Ado About Nothing, the Joss Whedon adaptation came out.
Oh, okay.
Blu-ray, yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to look for that online to maybe rent it on Amazon or something, because I don't know if I would buy that right away.
Yeah, it's all in that Shakespearean-type language, man. I don't know if I understand
that. Yeah, funny talk.
Alas, poor York and stuff, or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm
Alas.
Saying, Steven?
Yeah.
Hey! What's his sweetness?
I understood it. Watch it.
Yeah, I don't understand. Hey, if it was like that Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet, I might check it out, Bill.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome, man.
Yeah.
At least I can understand him.
What? Okay.
Right. Also, we have Danny Trejo in Zombie Hunter.
Dude, come on, really?
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Is that the one that was on Sci-Fi?
Yep.
Oh, Danny. You've got your multi-million dollar machete.
Machete don't text.
Do you really need to do that now? Oh, okay. That looked awful, so. By the way.
They can say, shit, bitch, whatever you want.
Huh?
Last week we had the release of Defiance Season 1 on Blu-ray and DVD.
Defiance.
Not a show I would buy, but I enjoyed watching it.
Exactly. Detect Tar, Bill. Detect Tar.
Detect Tar. I would like to see if there were any commentary tracks.
I like when he says, it doesn't fit my narrative.
Well, he meant it.
My favorite part is when Daytek said this, Stephen.
Chilo Chuxa.
Chilo Chuxa. I love
Stocko.
That. I thought that show started finding its footing towards the end, and I'm hoping season two kicks some ass.
Yeah, it did start finding its footing. We finally, on Blu-ray, have the unrated edition of Alyssa Milano's Embrace of the Vampire.
Ooh, that shows her topless. I remember that.
Yes, it does. It came out in 1995, and that was a movie that I remember I never returned to the Blockbuster.
Oh.
Yep. I probably have a very large fine that then went the way...
You know, this is going to sound silly, but, you know, we're all dudes here. We can talk about this. I remember that movie coming out, and holy shit, she's topless. It was just like, whoa, Willis and Milano's topless. Oh, my God. You know, it was just, like, exciting. Like,
yeah, it was.
Sam from Who's the Boss was topless.
Yep.
It was...
She looked good.
It was a special treat, you know?
It was a treat.
We waited our whole lives for that. Am I right, Steven?
Yeah, and it didn't even matter that the movie was horrible. It just, she no. was...
Oh, God, the movie great. Is freaking atrocious.
Well, you know what? After the first time, you never needed to watch it again because you remembered, you know, which chapter or which scene...
Yeah, you would run
you needed to go.
VHS tape. Of the, like,
it was the one you kept in a drawer, not in with your collection.
Oh, I didn't know you had this. Can I borrow it?
No! That's mine!
You can't take my girlfriend! You will not take her from me!
You will not take her from me! you know, that's just, speaking of the language and defiance, every time you play that clip, I can't help but think of the Phantom Menace. Like, it just sounds like something Watto would say.
What's that?
The line of the Detector says there, the last one you played. The Chopa Choxa?
Chilo Choxa?
Chopa Choxa?
Chilo Choxa, Bill. Do you know what that means?
Chilo Choxa.
Because I have no idea.
Bologna Movatafa?
Bologna Movatafa.
Chop Chawa?
Chop Chawa. I love that kid.
Yeah, little brat.
Oh my God.
Fox continues to release movies in 3D on Blu-ray that no one ever asked for and were never originally in 3D with Jumper 3D.
Jumper 3D?
Yes, the Hayden Christensen Chop Chawa movie.
I can, like, teleport and shit.
I actually sort of liked this movie a little bit.
Jumper?
Yeah, I did.
I couldn't believe how wasted potential it was.
I agree.
That wasn't a decent sentence at all, but you get the idea.
No, I get you. I wanted more from it, and I think that's why I liked it. Like, I was hoping for a sequel that got into it, but that was never to be.
And plus, what's her face? Rachel Bilson.
Rachel Bilson.
I've always thought she was...
Bilson.
Attractive. But that movie... the problem I have with it really has nothing to do with Hayden Christensen or whatever that. It's that his character is so stupid.
Yeah, he jumps a house.
Yeah, he's not intelligent.
No, he's not. he's
like,
reckless.
We need a character that can do smart things. We, you know.
Yeah, like not like running from Samuel L. Jackson with white hair.
I don't understand.
Remember at the end when he could kill Samuel L. Jackson if he wanted to, but he doesn't show him that, hey, I'm not a bad guy. But before then, they show that Samuel L. Jackson drives a knife through the heart of Jumper's It's like, you should have killed
him. Yeah, he is really a bad guy.
No, I'm showing I'm a good guy. No, you're showing you're a friggin' moron. Okay? Yeah.
Dumb, dumb.
Jackass.
And jumper, too. He's going to kill you.
I'm a jumper. I'm going to leave IOUs in banks I rob. You're real intelligent. God,
yeah. That, you know what? That absolves you of any guilt.
What, the actor, the Billy Elliot kid who plays the other jumper?
Yeah.
The movie should have been about him because he had his shit together.
You know what? After I saw Jumper, I went back and saw that it was based on a book. And there's actually – the book is a lot better. And there's a book that they wrote that's all about the Billy Elliot character.
I never read the book.
Well,
that's Hayden Christensen.
I didn't read that one either, but I read Jumper.
Jumper! I bet – is it good? I mean, is it like a YA book or is it
– No. It's just – yeah, I think it came out before there was ever a, you know, YA classification.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's not bad. And we spoke about Richard Curtis earlier. And Love Actually came out in a 10th anniversary edition Blu-ray.
Any dude who's like, oh man, Love Actually, that's a chick movie. It's not.
No, not at all.
Movie. It's really well done, Steven. Stop judging me. You're hurting me.
I watch it every Christmas.
Go along with this or I'll cut you in half.
It's become one of those movies I watch alongside, you know, Die Hard and Lethal Weapon and Christmas Vacation. And
Steven, have you ever seen it, Love Actually?
Sir.
I like when the dude
from... Because I'm not in a chick book.
Oh, you son of a... There's a part where the British dude goes to America because he's like, the American women are all over you when you go there. The first thing he does when he goes there, he meets Alicia Cuthbert. He meets Shannon, what's her name? The girl from American Pie.
Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Denise Richards. Like, all these hot chicks, and they're all over him. They're like, you can come stay at our place. And then they're, like, tearing his clothes off. He's like, it's real. It's true. American women love my accent. That part is great.
I want to stay with Alicia Cuthbert.
And I love when he comes back and his friend is waiting for him at the airport, and then he's got all these beautiful chicks with him. It's great. Good stuff. And I really like Liam Neeson's great on that. Colin Firth, Hugh Grant, and, you know, all the Sigabukus.
Yeah.
Well, they should
Bill,
be.
Bill Nye and Ellen
Bill
Rickman.
Nye, science guy. No, Bill Nye's always good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey!
Who else? All those
sweetness.
Good British people.
And it's got a great soundtrack, too.
Richard Curtis movies always have a great soundtrack. Yeah. So he actually listens to the music before he does the movies. Like, the music inspires the movies, he says.
There's that main theme at the end as they're running through the airport. It's fantastic.
Okay. Now we're getting to DVDs for this week. October 18th, or actually October 22nd, sorry. Starting with a movie that hit pretty big at the theaters, The Conjuring.
Oh, is it this movie, Bill?
Yes. Yes. the clapper.
Really?
Movie.
Clap on, clap off. The Ghost Conjuring.
Ghost
no!
Oh my god! It's
what about,
Moloch.
What about golf clap?
Golf clap.
Golf clap.
Golf clap.
Lily Taylor's like, and she's watching Men at Work on the cable.
Yeah, well, that is frightening.
You can't
oh
be that.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! They just exploded a bag of shit.
That's one of those movies I'll watch continuously, but it's so bad.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, it gets so like mudded down in its own horse shit. Just they're dumping toxic waste. Oh wait, no, there's a dead man in a barrel. Oh wait, no, it's just. So
there's
stupid.
Keith David, that's the
yes!
last one. He's like, don't ever F with another man's french fries. That's got to be one of the best lines I've ever heard in a movie.
Yeah, it's got some good lines.
You will all begin to whip your cream.
Okay, and going backward a little bit, Before Midnight, Is this the last of the trilogy of?
Yes.
After Sunset.
I want to see it. I've seen the first two.
Yeah. I like them.
Me too. As well as I.
And how about another direct-to-video Danny Trejo movie, Dead in Tombstone?
What is it called?
Dead in Tombstone.
Dead in Tombstone. Like he's in the tombstones?
Yeah, it's Danny Trejo, Anthony Michael Hall, and Mickey Rourke.
Oh.
There's a trio.
You can't have that attitude.
About a ruthless gang that overruns a small mining town, murder their own leader in cold blood power grab, sentenced to an eternity in hell.
Come on, really?
The trio character finds himself confronted by Satan himself, played by Mickey Rourke, offering a daring proposition: deliver the six souls of his former gang and he'll escape damnation.
Sounds good. Sold.
So really? It looks a bit like a Western. So, yeah.
Sold.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Moving on. A movie I have absolutely zero interest in, and in fact, I just want to imagine it doesn't exist, and that's The Internship.
Can you hear about it for me?
Yeah, with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
Oh!
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely not. It's been good seeing you guys. It looks like you're doing great.
I mean, I just don't... I like Owen Wilson in Wes Anderson films, but I just can't take him in anything else. And Vince Vaughn has just become a caricature. He's the same asshole from Swingers in every movie, except now he's old and pathetic.
I won't write it off if it's funny. I don't mind either one of those
guys.
I haven't
heard that it's funny.
I know they make bad movies. They also make good movies. So it depends. Like Wedding Crashers, funny.
Yes. Mm. I like
Go
the beginning
with this
of
or
it.
Cut you in half.
With all the naked women falling backwards on the bed, that's good.
Can you hear Muffet for me?
Yeah, I just...
It doesn't look good. I don't think it looks good.
It looked really painful to me.
If it's funny, check it out, you know? When it's on HBO.
I'll wait to hear back from you.
When it's on HBO, I'm not going to seek it out or anything.
All right.
Who's not going to the theater?
Thank you very much.
Just let me know if it's any good.
I will. Bill, I just watched it. It's great.
Oh, awesome. I'll watch it right away. I can't believe that Nikita is still on the air.
Yeah, the final season is this season, and the CW gave him 5 episodes to wrap it up.
Oh, okay. I watched the first season, and that was it. Just kind of lost interest. I know my dad loves the show.
I lost interest, too. I heard that it was great, like the last season was great, but I just lost interest. There's too many shows on TV.
Yeah, so the complete third season is now on Blu-ray.
And I do love Maggie Q, though.
Yeah, I like Maggie Q. And
Maggie Q! Sorry.
Ever since I saw the show, I had a crush on the girl that plays Alex, that Lindsay
Fonseca or something?
Fonseca.
Yeah, but I like Maggie Q.
Yeah.
Oh, Maggie Q, baby, I love you. Oh, sorry. I don't know what I'm doing there.
Oh, frightened. All right, next we have the second collaboration between Nicholas Refn.
Excuse me?
That guy, and Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
Nicholas Winding Refn.
I don't like how that shit works.
The guy that made Drive.
Nick Cage?
No, not Drive.
Oh, the
Angry.
Guy who directed Drive?
Yes.
What is his name?
Nicholas Winding Refn.
It's a cage with live animal inside.
Excuse me?
Yes. That's it. Only God forgives is the
What? God does what?
Only God forgives.
Oh, well, that's a bad attitude. Why do they think that?
I don't know. This is one of those movies that people either love or hate. I'll give it a go because I really, really, really like Drive.
You can't have that attitude.
Well, I don't know what other attitude I should have.
So what's the bad news?
The bad news is we're on the last Blu-ray of the week, and that's a film called The Way, Way Back.
Hey! What's his sweetness?
The Way, Way Back.
Yeah, this is one of those indie darling films directed by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash.
No way!
The team behind The Descendants.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I did like The Descendants, and I know who those guys are.
Yeah. Rash is the guy that plays
the Dean.
Dean, yeah, on Community.
This movie did look funny, and it's an indie darling, so you know what that means, guys. I'm going to take people from my Pinochle Club, and we're going to go see it.
It'll just be darling. It's playing in the shit theater in town.
Oh.
You will all begin to whip your cream.
The theater that all the college students go to and destroy. And
I'm whipping my cream right now.
Most annoying.
Hey.
That's frightening. And that's Blu-rays and DVDs for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the Blu-rays, DVD Blu-rays. Woohoo! Hasn't this been great, Steven?
It's been awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week, Bill.
You're welcome.
That's kind of interesting.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see you.
Horrible.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, everyone, that was episode 283 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank you for listening. We'd like you to go to etlandfill.com. There you can find links to all of our shows, all of our episodes. You can find our fan club on Facebook, or you can find us all on Twitter, and it'll be good stuff forever. Right, guys?
Yes.
Good times and great wine. Forever.
Can you hear him outfit for me?
Sure.
They can say fuck, shit, bitch, whatever you want.
Hey, whoa. Why are you doing that, huh?
Cock, balls.
Stop.
Come on, really?
Oh, baby's going nuts. Well, Bill, it was great to do the show with you again.
You
well
too.
You, Steven, it was great to touch base with you guys. Oh, my God. We got a crazy beagle here, Bill.
A raptor beagle.
Yeah, did you like that picture?
I did.
It's funny when you play tug of war, when she starts getting really into it, and she starts going,
yeah. Yep.
Like,
Webster
what you,
does that too.
What are you going to do, you little punk ass?
Exactly.
All right, guys. Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, guys... Steven?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bill? What are you guys reading right now? Bill?
I just started reading a book called Steelheart.
Whoa! Steven, what are you reading?
I'm reading a book. It's called Steelheart.
Oh, my God! Guys,
what?
Listen, are you reading anything new?
I'm reading a book called Steelheart.
Holy shit!
We're all reading it! Book club! Woo-hoo!
No.
That'll be awesome. I can't wait to hear what you guys think when it's all over. I'm like,
I'm hooked. I read the prologue, and I remember you saying, when you read the prologue, let me know. And I was like, oh, damn, this is cool.
Yeah, it's a fun read, and I'm past page 200, but I don't know where I am. I'm not reading it that fast.
You're like, savoring it.
Yes. And I can't wait till we all read it and we can talk about it. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it will.
Yes. All right, guys. That's our show. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Bill. Bye, Steven.
Bye, Bill.
Bye,
Steven.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely not. It's been good seeing you guys. It looks like you're doing great.
is podcasting.
Now I want to punch myself in the head.
You can't be that dumb.
That sounds like a lot of fun, but...
Just give it a second.
I think it's a really good idea.
That's kind of interesting.
Hey! Watch his sweetness.
No, 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 no.
So funny.